जयम शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयम तिल्य प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदश्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कौटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम गुंद राधा गुंड की गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुर ओम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारका परिधाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimade Bhaktivedanta, Swaminiti Namini. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Prajarini, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Desha Tarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम तीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्रहगृहीतांगं माम उद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि श्रीगुरो शिवया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोहृदे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्तुन्नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वभाव प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःख शमनम तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादितरतश्च तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो पारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा दाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तभुहगं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोजित कैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तोऽत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यते त्रगृभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तर्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुविभावुका सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुवेदमुवेदकृत्यं त्वयि पायनो विरहकादरमाजुहावा पुत्रेऽधि तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्यासोऽनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुलिलोद्रदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापिकापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाशाचरेशधारिणि श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दं व्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणमभीष्णश व्यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं కౌముదయీ సరసిజం కరుణ సముద్రం రాధాసహాయమది సుందర మందహాసం పాతాళేష మనిషం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయన్ కుమారః వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవదీమష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి. నమోస్తు తే వ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే కులారవిందాయ పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్నవారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమ. సర్వోపనిషదో గావోదోగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పాథోవల్సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం జగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాచయద్రతజలా గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశరివజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదినం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహపేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాత్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసి శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం భంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్సాంగపదైర్క్రమౌపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సమగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః.
So Krishna is instructing Uddhava of the various issues involved with yoga process of cultivation of spiritual knowledge. After talking to Uddhava about the first 9 verses of the truth, Uddhava asked the question that who experiences the material existence. In answer to that, Krishna says that the material existence itself is not real. That itself is not a real thing. But due to the combination of the when the Chaitanyam or the living force, Atma, when it is in the presence of body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, in all of them, there is a force which is born, which is known as Jiva or Ahankaram, Ahankaram or Jiva. And that Jiva is the one who is experiencing the different material miseries, or different material miseries. Krishna also mentioned there that Jnanasi Mopasaniya Shirena Chitva Munirgam Vijaratya Trishna mentioned that the by using the sword of knowledge, one should cut through that ignorance. Chitva munirgam vijarat atrishna. Atrishna means, and come to the platform of freedom from all desires, he said. And Krishna spoke about the jnanam, vivegam, nigamam, tapas, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam. All of them has to be used along with our experience in this world in analyzing this and come to the proper conclusions, he said. So in that process, yesterday we saw Krishna was saying that that a person who is experienced the self and who is always established in that, and that is the very nature of a realized soul. And when he leaves this world, material life, then he goes back to the truth, and there is no question of him coming back here again. There is no question of, that is where we spoke about it. That is the tishtandam asina mutra vrajandam shayana mukshandam ukshandam adandam annam sobhava manyat kimapihamanam almanam almastam matir na veda. Almanam almastam matir na veda. After saying this, in the next verse, Krishna is saying, yadishma pasyati asad indriyartham nana anumanena viruddham anyat na manyade vastudaya manishi swapnam yathothaya tirodhadhanam. Yadishma pasyat asad indriyartham nana anumanena viruddham anyat na manyade vastudaya manishi swapnam yathothaya tirodhadhanam. Tirodhadhanam. For example, suppose a realized person or a jnani, due to his purva vasana shakti, that means previously he had certain vasanas, but that has not gone away completely. It is still there in him. It could be there, some traces of that is present in there in him still. And due to that, sometimes he may accept something in this world as true and desire it, some enjoyment here, or may pass or experience it. Either he may believe in this, sometimes it can happen. The mind is such that if the vasanas are still anything left behind in the mind, it will pop up sometime when it comes to contact with the world. So even though he has experience and knowledge inside, there is a possibility that that may desire may come back due to the vasana inside, and he will start thinking that there is enjoyment in the world. That's one problem. Secondly, if that thought comes in that there is something to be enjoyed here, then it's possible that it can develop into a desire to enjoy that. Or it's a possible that he may go, even go and experience that enjoyment. But even then, suppose he has knowledge, he is sound inside, he has cultivated spiritual knowledge very well inside, then normally if there is sufficient knowledge, if the knowledge is powerful inside, such a thing won't happen. But because the knowledge is not strong enough, it's weak inside, that's why such a desire comes up and a vasana comes out. Vasana comes out. So he experienced that. Krishna is saying that even then, does not matter, because imagine that he has gone and enjoyed something. Even then, na manyade vastudaya manishi swapnam yathothaya tirodhadhanam. Krishna is saying there in the last two lines. Yadisma pashyat asadindriyartam nananumanena viruddham anyat. That means that yadisma pashyat asadindriyartam. Asadindriyartam. Indriyams are all asat, isn't it? All its senses are asat. Asat. Who said this? Devahudi Devi said to Kardama Prajapati. Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asadindriya tarshanat, she says. Nirvinna nidaram bhuman asadindriya tarshanat, she said. So same thing Krishna is saying, Yadisma Pashyat Asat Indriyartham. These Asat Indriyas, they are Asat. What they can do is Nananu Manyena Virudha Manyat. They can create a feeling in your mind, even if you have developed a lot of understanding of spiritual life and knowledge is sound, and because the process is that in the spiritual life you are continuously growing with good realizations about life. You're getting a lot of realizations from the life itself, plus supported by the shastram, you are feeling that fulfillment inside, that truth is you're holding on to. But in spite of all that, it is possible that if there is some trace of vasanas inside in the mind, lying somewhere, and it gets an opportunity, it may come out. It can always happen. That is unavoidable. And that's what Krishna is saying, that yadisma pashyat asadindriyartham, because of that indriyams are asat, they can, nanani manini viruddhamanyat, that they can create some conclusions inside and say, let's go and enjoy. Viruddhamanyat. And opposing to the knowledge, something else you'll go and do outside. Nananu manyenu viruddhamanyat. In that case, namanyade vastudaya manushi swapnam yadothaya tirodhadhanam. Krishna is saying here that if he is very well established in the knowledge, then it will not happen to him. If he is well settled down there. And that is definite. That is definite. That all depends on the strength of knowledge inside. On the strength of knowledge inside. And if the knowledge is very sound and strong inside, then he will know that it is all false and he will not believe in this, in any enjoyment or any experience in this world or desires. None of them will develop inside. But imagine that the knowledge is not strong enough. Then what will happen? So therefore, in reality, because if the knowledge is sound enough, there is no possibility of degradation. No possibility of degradation. But, therefore, he says, na manyade vastudaya manishi swapnam yadothaya tirodhadhanam. Krishna's point is that even if something happens like that, but due to that, he will not completely fall. He will not completely fall. Because even it may have happened, but because there is knowledge inside, that not because of that knowledge, the person in spiritual life, as soon as anything happens, he should go and take shelter of the knowledge inside. And also, it not allow further that vasana to grow inside. What has caused this problem? Says, under no circumstances, due to pramadam. Pramadam means this misunderstanding about sense enjoyment. And not to create any desires further inside. And he should always be conscious and careful about it, even after developing spiritual knowledge. These two things are always there. On the one side, with all your effort, you are developing the understanding, the knowledge inside. That means what goes on inside is, as Krishna mentioned before, that jnanam, vivekam, nigamam, tapas, all these things. Pratyaksham, vaidhikyam, anumanam. You are using all these things, and then with your experience in the world, you are developing some understanding inside. That's one side. The other side, in the mind, there is some vasanas from previous lifetimes or some previous experiences, even in this life. They may be there inside, some trace of that. So when it gets an opportunity, there is a possibility that vasanas may come out. And if it comes out, if the knowledge is strong inside, nothing will happen. But if the knowledge is not sound and strong, then there is a possibility that you may go and do something which later on you may feel that was not the right thing to do. So Krishna's point is that he's saying, na manyade vastudaya manishi. The intelligent person should know that it has happened in such a way that not to repeat that again, you should always be careful. You should always be very, very careful about it. You should always be very, very careful about it. That power of knowledge should be come back. That means you have to allow that knowledge inside to work when it is required. It has to come for his shelter. It has to come for his shelter. So therefore, he will not, even though it has, something has happened, in reality he won't have a very serious fall down. So, but due to that pramadam, that ignorance or illusion, he should not come back again and start believing in sense objects or sense enjoyment. And with the full knowledge of the jnana sambandhi, that means with knowledge, he should always keep his attention on the mind, not allow that to happen again. Yadistu pasyat asad indriyartham mananumaniyena viruddhamanyat na manyade vastudaya manishi swapnam yaduthaya tirodhadhanam swapnam yaduthaya tirodhadhanam. Then purvam grihidam guna karma chitram ajnanam atmanya vivikta manga nivartade tad punarikshayaiva na grihyate napi visrujyam atma. Gives an example. When he was a child, the parents brought him some toys to play with. And when he was a child, he loved them, those toys. He was very fond of them. And when he was a child, he was persistent, I want this, I want that. And parents have brought him all those things to play with. And he used them when he was a child very happily. He played with them and utilized them in his childhood. After that, when he grew up, these toys were not of much use to him. So the parents took them and kept them separately, saying that when he will have children, he will use them for them to play with. The parents have kept the toys for the grandchildren to play with. And sometimes they do like that. So this person who has been playing with these toys, when he has grown up, he won't take them again and start playing with them, would he? He wouldn't do that. So similarly, Krishna is saying that as an example, nivartade tat punariksha eva na grihyate navi visrajyam atma. That means, even similarly, when a person was mudha, stupid, at that time, whatever sense enjoyment he had, thinking that they were real and enjoying, and whatever he enjoyed in that state of mind, whatever sense gratification he had, all of them will not be there in the sense objects in the later life. This is an example to show to us that when he was a child, whatever he has played with the toys and how he enjoyed those toys when he was a child, that happiness he won't get when he grows up. He won't take those toys and start playing with them again. I used to like it, all those toys, so I'll admit to play with the toys again. So he wouldn't do that because he doesn't get any enjoyment from those toys anymore. Similarly, yogi also, Krishna is saying, that who is in the process of knowledge, whatever sense enjoyment he had earlier, before he came to spiritual life, and before he started this process of knowledge, whatever he had in his previous life, prior to the spiritual life started, all those things, when he enjoyed them, he had an attitude towards that, to enjoy. That mood won't come back to him again. It will not come back to him. Because that is what is known as satyabuddhi. Satyabuddhi means now he knows that they are all sources of misery. Now he knows that. Earlier he didn't know. In ignorance he did so many things, in ignorance. But now he knows that they are all sources of misery, and therefore he won't feel any happiness because his intelligence has developed inside through knowledge. So therefore, later on, when he will not get attracted to it anymore, to enjoy them. So, just like the objects that was in the dream state, when you wake up, all those things in the dream state, you don't think of them as real. You don't think of them as real. Similarly, one who has understood that this world is like a dream present in front of him, swapna samanam. He says, swapnam yaduthaya tirodhadhanam, that he has woken up from the dream, and now he has realized it was a dream only. Similarly, if he has understood that this world is also similarly a dream, then he will not, provided he understood that, he realized it, that it is like a dream, then he will not again develop any desire for this objects of this world, and he will not think of them as real, and will not develop any desire for enjoying them, or he won't even experience them. So, such a person, one whose jnananishta, it's called jnananishta, that means he is very well established in the knowledge, jnananishta. That person who is keep that steadiness, nishta, throughout his life, at the end of his life, when the prarabdham is over, he will leave his body and he will go back to the spiritual world, or he will realize self, he will get liberated from this material life once for all. He will not have to accept another material body again. That's what he's saying here. Purvam grihidam guna karma chitram ajnanam alpanya viviktamangam nivartade tat punar ikshayiva na grihyate napi visrujyam almam. Purvam grihidam guna karma chitram ajnanam alpanya viviktamangam nivartade tat punar ikshayiva na grihyate napi visrujyam almam. Visrujyam alma, saying that Krishna is talking about that person who he is, who has come to that state of a jnani, who is established in that state. So, we have seen earlier, Krishna mentioned that, remember, artehi avidyamanevi is a famous verse, samsrtir na nivartate dhyayado vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. So, why this verse has been repeated in the Bhagavatam so many times? In Shastram, what they will say, this is called Punarukti, Punarukti Dosham. While repeating, say for example, if you are writing poetry, they'll call it as a defect, that you are repeating something, Punarukti Dosham. But in spiritual knowledge, it is not considered to be wrong. It's not considered to be wrong. Lot of times repetition will happen, and it is good, it's not bad, because no matter how many times we keep repeating, it's only done with one intention, to get that understanding established inside. That is why it's repeated again and again. That verse Artehya Vidyamanipi, I mentioned that many times before also, that samsardana nivartade dhyayato vishayanasya supne anarthagamo yada. That verse is continuously repeated only because to get that knowledge established inside, so that we don't forget that. So that's the reason it's done. So Krishna is quoting this example of dream state, supnam. Supne anarthagamo yada. Supnam Krishna is quoting there and confirming that. So Krishna is saying that in the dream state there is no objects, but dhyayato vishayanasya, that means as far as the person is concerned, the dream is concerned, or the person is concerned, for him it is there. Another person may not be experiencing it, but the person who is seeing the dream, he is experiencing it at that moment in time, he is experiencing the misery of that dream or happiness of that dream. But nobody else is having the problem with that. Only he is having the misery. So when one somebody is having that dream, at that particular moment in time, it is there. You can't say it's not there. It's there. It won't go away, isn't it? So as long as we have this vasana inside, vishayavasana. Vishayavasana means the propensity for or sense enjoyment. As long as it's there, material existence will also be there. Material existence will also be there. So, and so long as these propensities are there and material existence is there, and that will not allow you to come out of your ahankaram also. I am. That also won't go. So, when a person has ahankaram, only then he will have vasanas. When vasanas are there, ahankaram is there, material existence will be there. Samsaram will be there. Material existence will be there. This is how it is. But suppose all the vasanas have gone away completely, then ahankaram won't be there. And then material existence also won't be there. These three things are always together. If there is ahankaram inside, vasanas will be there. And if the vasanas are there, material existence will be there. If the vasanas have gone away completely, then the ahankaram also would have gone, in which case material existence also will go away. So, a person in dream state, he suffered heavily. And finally he woke up. When he woke up, all the problems he had has gone. What he was experiencing in the dream has gone. Because what he saw in the dream is not there anywhere. So he came out of it. So as soon as he woke up, everything that was there in the experience in the dream has all gone. And all the fear and distress what he experienced in the dream state has also gone. So, when in the wakens, in the dream state, when he woke up, the misery is gone. When he wakes up, misery is gone. And but when he has woken up, the person who experienced the dream is still there. Is it not? He has not gone. He is still there. He experienced the dream, but in the dream state he experienced some problems, difficulties or some misery. But as soon as he woke up, it has gone. But the person who experienced that dream is still there in the vacant state, as in the also, in the vacant states also. So, but the person who has seen the dream, he is still there, and and he is saying that this is what I have seen in the dream. This is what I have seen in the dream. So, that knowledge, what he has seen in the dream, he is still able to repeat that when he woke up. So, that knowledge is his identity. That knowledge is his identity. That is what we are talking about. Awareness. Awareness is that thing which he was able to, when he came to the vacant state, he was able to refer it back and say that I have experienced this in my dream state, which he is able to say in the vacant state. That is his awareness, that is not called knowledge. That is called knowledge. This is Shastram knowledge means. Knowledge is not what you have collected in the mind or the brain. This is what this Krishna calls as knowledge. Knowledge means this, that always knowing who I am, who you are, that is knowledge. Always in that state. What I experienced in the dream when I woke up, I am able to repeat that and say to the world that I had this dream. And who had that knowledge? That's me. Awareness. And that knowledge is not coming from the mind, not coming from the brain, or from the memory. We call it memory knowledge. Actually, that memory is in the hands of that awareness. Awareness is the one which carried that information from knowledge and announced that when he woke up. So even though you have switched from the dream state to the awakened state, you were able to mention that, that this is what I enjoyed in the, I had the miseries of the dream, and I'm able to say that in the awakened state. And that is coming through awareness, not through the mind or brain or memory, nothing. You can call it memory because it comes through the awareness, not through the mind or the brain. Mind or brain has no effect there. So, and that is what our identity, that's what we are, that awareness. And just like this, you can see there, this world is drishyam. And the person who is seeing that is the drashta, is the drashta. So, when you are woken up from the sleep, from the dream state, I am still aware of myself. I am still aware of myself. And I am saying that, that I am aware of what I experienced in the dream. Similarly, even this world disappears, which is drishyam. World is drishyam, isn't it? But even if this world disappears, but the awareness which has experienced the world before will still remain. That is the example. From dream state to waking state, when you come, how you are reporting about the dream in the waking state, which is purely due to the person who experienced it, his awareness, who experienced that dream, is able to say that in the waking state. Similarly, when this world disappears one day, which we are experiencing now in the waking state, we will still be able to realize this world, what we have experienced before in our waking state. And but therefore, if this world disappears, that experience, what you had experiencing of this waking state, that will not go. That you will remember. Like the way you did from dream state to waking state. Because that is there in the awareness, that there is a state called waking state, and in that waking state I experienced this. But you won't fall into that waking state again. You won't fall into the waking state again. You come out of it. But like the way you remembered this dream state, in the dream experience in the waking state, you will remember the experience of the vacant state in your next state, in the Turiyam state. So, and that person who has experienced like that, that is his identity, that is his Atma, Atma Sarupam. So, question is, who is experiencing, that's the question Uddhava asked, isn't it? Who is experiencing the material existence? And that material existence is not for Atma. It's not the awareness that's experiencing the material existence. Then that is where Krishna said that the Ahangaram is experiencing it. Ahangaram is experiencing it. Have you understood now the difference between that awareness and Ahangaram? Awareness is this one, which is able to tell you when you come from dream state to the deep. It is the same one which tells us in the deep sleep state also that I have experienced bliss in the deep sleep. That is awareness again. There it is awareness. In the deep sleep state, when you say that I had a good sleep without disturbed by anything, I was enjoying that deep sleep state. Who says that? Awareness. Similarly, in the dream state also, whatever you have experienced in the dream, when you come to the waking state, you are saying that in the dream state I had all these experiences. That's also awareness. Similarly, Krishna is saying, when you leave this vacant state also and goes to the Turiyam state, what will happen is that this world has disappeared. It's not there anymore. But you can still be able to say in the Turiyam state also all that what you have experienced in the vacant state. All that is happening with awareness. Bodham. Avabodham. That is the difference. Avabodham. That is avabodham. Now, Uddhava asked a question, who is experiencing the material misery? And that is where Krishna is saying to Uddhava that it is happens to the ego. Ahankaram is experiencing the miseries of material existence. Awareness does not experience the miseries at any time, either in the deep sleep or in the dream state or in the waking state, just to show to us that there is a very clear and marked difference between the experience of the ahankaram and the experience of the awareness. That is why all these words are spoken. Experience of the ahankaram is in one platform, experience of the awareness is in another platform. Awareness never experiences any misery, that's what Krishna is saying. It is your ahankaram that is experiencing all the misery. So that is why he said in the 15th verse, Shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha spradaya ahankarasya drishyande janma mrityuscha na alpana. Everything is for the ahankaram. All emotions, all experiences is for the ahankaram. Realized souls are so clear about these things. They don't have any difficulty in explaining this. For example, in Ravana Maharshi's this Sadarshanam book, he talks about the same thing very clearly. Very beautiful presentation of the ahankaram, how it works. He says there, 26th verse, Deho na jana di sato na janmam. Deha pramane anyamudedi madhye aham kriti gandhi vibandha sushmam sharira cheto bhava jivanama. He says, Deho na janadi sato na janmam. Deho na janadi sato na janmam. Deha pramane anyamudedi madhye aham kriti gandhi vibandha sushmam sharira cheto bhava jivanama. Bhava jivanama. He says here that the this body, has it really born? That's first question he's saying. No, he says no. Body is not born. Because body is made of these five material elements. Five material elements. And five material elements were always present before. They were already present there. Material elements were present there. And because five material elements were there, you can say that they have become the body. Five material elements have become the body. What has happened is the five material elements joined together and the body, a form has come. That's all. But you can't say that five material elements were born. We won't say like that. We will say the body has born. So, when you look at the body, there is nothing else in that body except the five material elements. Except the five material elements. So, you can say like this, that things were there before also, these five material elements. It's not that only thing, just it's combined together and taken a form, particular form. So for example, suppose there is a pot, they give this example again, that there is a clay pot, then you won't say that earth has been created, earth was born. You will say pot has been created, clay pot has been created. Because earth was already there before, similarly, five material elements are already there before, and we have combined them together and brought them in a particular form and shape, and we are asking what is there now. It's the same five material elements in a particular shape. Only the five material elements are there, and that was already there before. Similarly, satta chitta, that also was never created. It was always there. Satta and chitta, that means the soul, alma also was always there. Because very nature of Satya Chitta Anandam Alma, it does not take birth, it was also there all the time. Just because the body is born, just because the new body we have created, doesn't mean that the Alma was also created. Alma was never created, Alma always exists. Alma always exists. So these two things, Alma is always existing, material elements are also existing, but in between these two, a new person was born. And that is ego, ahankara. And that's what's called jiva. And that does not, that Ahankaram is not Atma Swarupam. It is not the nature of Atma. It's not the nature of Atma. Just to show that it is different from the awareness. And it is different from the body. This thing called Ahankaram is different from the awareness and it is different from the material elements as well. He is someone in between. He is someone in between. Awareness is the one which is the experiencer, who experiences everything. Experiences everything. Everything means that, as he said, that in the waking state, in the dream state, in the deep sleep, he is able to say that the these things have happened. But he has not been affected by that. Oh, Alma. He is not affected by the experiences of the dream, not affected by the experiences of the deep sleep, not affected by the experiences of the vacant state. He is only able to tell you when he leaves that state what all has happened there. He can say that. The awareness can say that. The gross body, which is the five material elements, that has taken some shape and that has come from the five material elements, which was always there, material elements. They come together and a form has come in the form of this gross body. So, you can't say that the body is also born because it's only a material elements combined together. The other one also was not born. Neither of them were born. But when they come together, another person is born. He is Ahankaram. He is Ahankaram. And therefore, Ahankaram is not the awareness, nor it is the gross material body. Nor it is the gross material body. So, but even though it is neither the gross material body nor the awareness, still all the dharmam of both we will impose on Ahankaram. That's what's happening. Even though Ahankaram is not this material body, and Ahankaram is not this awareness either, but still, when they come together, both the awareness, the results of the activities of the awareness, the results of the activities of the body, we will put them on the Ahankaram. Is that clear? You see how Ahankaram works in us. Ahankaram is not just pride and ego. The complicated structure inside us, how things happen in our daily life, this is how it happens. And so, the activities of the body and the results of that, shoka, harsha, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moham, all these are results of the activities of the body. All that we will impose on this Ahankaram. It's due to the Ahankaram. Similarly, all these experiences, what we were having as awareness in the vacant state, dream state and deep sleep, that also, in ignorance, we will impose it on the Ahankaram. We'll impose it on the Ahankaram. So, both of these two things, the activity, dharmam, sharira dharmam, dharmam of the body and atma's dharmam. This is called ajnanam. Ajnanam means this. The dharmam of the body and the dharmam of the atma, we are imposing both on the Ahankaram. The dharmam of the body and the dharmam of the atma comes both to the Ahankaram. That's what Krishna is saying there. Shoka, harsha, bhaya, krodha, lobha, moha, spriha, adaya, all of them. Ahankarasya drishyande. They all come in the form of Ahankaram. Janma, mrityu, shatna, atmana. Atma also, which is experiencing vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, but to the extent that it only tells you about what is being experienced at that stage. It does not get involved in anything. But what do? We say, I enjoy it. I had this dream. But when you say you had that dream, you are not speaking from the platform of awareness, you are speaking from the platform of Ahankaram. Similarly, in the vacant state also, all your experiences you are speaking from the platform of ahankaram. And even in the deep sleep, when you are talking about the bliss of the deep sleep state, when you are referring to that, again, as ahankaram you are speaking, although ahankaram has nothing to do with that, it's a part of the awareness. It's a part of the awareness. So that's an important thing Krishna is clarifying in that verse. That's why ahankarasya drishyante janma mrityushchu nalpana. So when he is mentioning there, both of them, this is when Shastram they call it as aropanam. Aropanam means you are imposing that on the Atma. That's what he is saying. In this verse also he said, Deho na janati sato na janma. Deha pramane anya udedi madhye. Deha pramane anya udedi madhye. Ahankriti grandhi vibhanda sushmam. Vibhanda sushmam. Shaira cheto bhava jivanama. Bhava jivanama. And this ahankaram, which on which we are imposing everything, this is what we call it as chijjada grandhi. You remember that word? We spoke earlier, chijjada grandhi. Why is it called chijjada grandhi? Chit is that awareness. Jadam is this material body. The grandhi or the bridge between the two. It bridges. It makes the bridge between these two. Therefore it's called grandhi. It joins them together and holds it together. Chijjada grandhi. This is one word used in the Bhagavatam. Chijjada grandhi, they call it. Chijjada grandhi. So, the body is blind. And the self is unborn. Body is blind because body has, is dead matter, isn't it? And he says, Deha pramane anyam udedi madhye. Between them, within the body's limit, there is something else appears. Something else appears. Ahankriti grandhi vibhanda sushmam. This is the knot or the joint of matter and spirit. Spirit is awareness. Matter is the body. So when you join these two things together, matter and the spirit, that means the mind and the soul, this thing called ego self, ahankaram, or subtle body, if you want to call it like that, is born. And that taking birth, this subtle body's taking birth, is called the samsara. It's called samsara. And what they say is the revolving wheel of life and death. Samsara means that material existence. Isn't it? So when the matter joins the spirit, there is a new thing created to keep them together, which we call it as chijjada grandhi, hridaya grandhi, another name. It's all one and the same thing. In different ways it's spoken. In the Upanishad, it's hridaya grandhi. In the Bhagavadam, in the Matsyavadaram, you will see this word chijjada grandhi. Vidyade hridaya grandhi, chidyande sarva samshaya. So, when the hridaya grandhi is broken, means when ahankaram is broken, completely gone away, spirit goes its way, matter goes its way. It's over. Connection is over. That is when we say, but once that grandhi is broken, that means the link is broken between spirit and the matter. Then you are remaining as a spirit. Outsiders will see the matter still as the gross body. Till the prarabdham is over, matter will stay. When the prarabdham is finished, matter will go and you are born with the spirit. That's liberation. That's what will happen. That's what Krishna is saying here. That when the matter comes in contact with the spirit, there is a bridge in between to join them together. That's ahankaram. That ahankaram, which is called chijjada grandhi or which is called hridaya grandhi, when that is completely destroyed, the connection is broken. Once the connection is broken, you are in the awareness. And if you are the awareness, then this body will still be there. It's not gone. This will only go when the prarabdham is finished. Prarabdham is over, this is gone, and you are gone. There's no more coming back to the matter again. That is what he's saying here. Chit-jada grandhi means that grandhi which joins the chit and jada, spirit and the matter. That is what it is called. So, hriday grandhi, another name for that. Whatever name, doesn't matter, it all means the same thing. So, and this is what we call as bondage. Liberation and bondage. Bondage is this. This is the bondage. And this itself, see the how many names for that? Chijada Grandhi, Hridaya Grandhi, then bondage in English. And then this is what is called Jiva. This blood bridge which connects these two. It's called Jiva. And this is what is called subtle body. Sushma Shariram. That's what it is called, Sushma Shariram. And this is what is called material existence, samsara. All one and the same thing. Only thing is, it's used in different place. We are thinking, oh, samsara, dhava, nanali, there's some big samsara coming from somewhere. Samsara is all inside. It's not outside. We are thinking, oh, there's some huge fire going on somewhere. And we have to extinguish that fire. Spiritual master will come, shower the water and close the... No. The poetical way of saying that is what it is. When we sing the Guru Ashtakam, when you read the translation, you'll be thinking, oh, that fire is very big, isn't it? Somewhere there's a big fire going on, somebody has to come and sprinkle the water. Spiritual master comes and he showers ocean of mercy in the form of rain. So we are thinking, oh, rain is going to come and the clouds are going to get destroyed and everything. But look at the way Jnani's analysis, that's the best way to put it together. So, one thing, how many names for that? Chijada Grandhi, Hridaya Grandhi, bondage, Jiva, subtle body, Sushma Shariram, or what we call it, and Samsaram, material existence. Another word is Bhavam. Bhavam. You remember this word Bhavam? Bhavam means constantly repeating birth, taking birth and death. That's called Bhavam. You remember that word? Bhave bhave yatha bhakti padayor stava jayade. Bhavam also is the same thing. So, and what else? False ego is the same thing. And it's the same thing what we call as the mind. So how many names now? For one, same one thing. So this ahankaram is the cause of all the problems. All the problems. So therefore, in Shastram, it has got another name, which is more important than anything else. It's called Moola Avidya. Moola Avidya means the root ignorance. The very deep-rooted ignorance in a person is called Moola Avidya. Moola Avidya. That's the word mostly it is used. Moola Avidya. That Moola Avidya is the one which is difficult to break away. Break it, to smash, to crush it is difficult. And Maharshi says that in the next verse. In the 27th verse, you will say,
Rupet bhavo, rupatadi pratishto, rupashano, dhuta grihita rupa, swayam virupa, su vichara kale, davat ahankara pishacha mesha.
That is the verse he says about that. About this play of this ego. How this ahankaram plays the game. How this ahankaram plays the game. Maharshi wrote these 40 verses known as Sadarshanam. He wrote and they became his realizations. He is saying this.
Rupet bhavo rupatati pratishto rupashano dhuta grihita rupa swayam virupa so vichara kale davat ahankara pishacha mesha.
Ahankara pishacha, he called it. The devil of ego. This ahankaram, which is, we also call it as the Moola Avidya, its root is form. It's rooted in forms and born from a form. In the form only it can exist. Only if you have form there will be ahankaram. Ahankaram means there has to have a form. Only then there is some form, doesn't matter. Male form, female form, man, woman, doesn't matter. Any person will have ahankaram inside.
So born of form, and it is rooted in the form only, only when there is a form. And it lives in the form only, lives on forms. And what else? It's always changing its form. Born of form, rooted in the forms, living on forms, and ever changing its own form. Angaram's form changes, isn't it? That's what he's saying here. Rupe bhavo rupa rupa tati pratishto rupashano dhuda grahida rupam. Because ahankaram, you can see, sometimes ahankaram is very strong in a person. And sometimes when he gets knocked by the material experiences in this world, you get subdued a bit. That means ahankaram has come down. It's like a wave, up and down, up and down. It changes its forms. Swayam virupam su vichara kale davat ahankara pishacha mesha. But if you ask that one on its own, it's formless. Angaram is formless. And if you inquire about him, he's not there. That means when questioned, it's gone. Such is this ego ghost. Such is this ego ghost. Swayam virubaso vichara kale davat ahangara vishacha esha. He has no reality. He has no reality. It's a funny thing, this ahangaram, isn't it? How it comes and gives trouble. So, if you try to catch him or analyze him and think about him, he won't give you any opportunity to understand him. He has some strange way of escaping from everything. when it comes to the body, he will tell you, I am so and so, I am such and such a person, I was born in such and such a place. This is all ahankaram it is. When you say, oh, I am an Indian, I was born in Kerala, and this is my name, and these are my parents, my father, mother, and I have studied up to this level, and I got married, I have these children, and in all these things, he is the key. He is the one behind it. Isn't it? So if the ahankaram is not there, all these things what I've said has no meaning. But he has no form. Ahankaram doesn't have a form. But he is very good in presenting everything in relationship with the body as though it is his. That's the beauty. Whatever body has happened to the body, he will take that identity and he will present himself. I am that person. I was born in such and such a place, and this is my parents, this is my family, this is my children, and this is my house, this is my wife, this is my this, that, 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 so this is my job. Everywhere he is taking the ownership. Who? Ahankaram. All the activities of the body, and all what in body itself there is no problem, because this rascal comes in and says everything that I'm done on this, and that becomes our problem. He takes ownership of everything. And because of this ego, keeping that, we develop all personality. Different personality we develop from that, is it not? Individual, that is how we are that is why he said that who continuously changes his forms. Sometimes you say, I'm engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a professor, I'm a priest, I'm this, I'm policeman, I'm whatever I am. It is he who is changing that dress. Body's not changing. He is changing the dress. Ahankaram. He's changing. And therefore, what he does to us is, all personalities he builds up inside us, about us. All what in relationship with the body, he takes control of everything, and then he starts this, that, everything, and he keeps telling us, and we keep repeating that. Because we become that, that's the problem. We become that ahankaram, and then we declare to the world, this is what I am, this is what I am, this is, like a mad person. I'm shouting in the world everything, what that fellow inside is dictating to us. So it is with that personality that I remain. I cannot remain without these false personalities. So that will always think about the body. That ahankaram will always
think about the body. And if the body is not there, he cannot stay. He can't be there. See, when the spirit and the matter join together, only then he can stay. If one of them leaves, he is gone. One of them leaves, he is gone. So, sometimes it's very funny, that is, the way the Ahankaram behaves. If you look at Ahankaram itself, how Ahankaram behaves itself is very funny. We'll say that because without the body it cannot exist. Sometimes when you are dressed very well and somebody sees you and he says to you, "Oh, you look very good." And this fellow inside, he is saying that, "Oh, I look very good, don't I?" You also say that, same thing. "Do I look very good?" And, "Oh, you have impressed me," he says. Somebody says to you, "You have impressed me." Ahankaram says from inside, "Yeah, I have impressed you, haven't I?" So both are talking. The fellow, man outside is saying something madness. He is only seeing your body and saying this. And immediately, when he is seeing your body and saying that, and immediately this man inside, he takes the ownership. "Yeah, yeah, I look good, don't I? I look good, I'm dressed very well." And this is this drama that's going on in this world. Maharshi is saying this. That he says, Ahankara Pishachi, he says. This is what he does from inside. So everything keeping this body, he will act. He will act. Keeping this body only he can act. He needs the body for his activities. He needs the body. And if you are very much absorbed in the body, then this fellow inside also will grow big and fat. He'll be big and strong. Suppose if you die, will he go? He won't go still. What, he will hang around looking for the next one to get in. Another body. That is his, he thinks he has got a right. As soon as this body goes, that is why you see in the Bhagavatam and all, well, they say that before you leave this body, the next body is already prepared for us. That example of the, what do they call that? A caterpillar. Yeah, caterpillar. They say that when it moves like that, it will make sure that it is well established in the next leaf before it comes out of the other leaf, from one leaf to another leaf. That example is given because of that. So similarly, and that is what Krishna is also saying in the Bhagavatam, that while leaving this body, you have already established your next body, and that is how you leave from this body to the next body. Leave body to the next body. You remember that verse? Where he said, 19th chapter, Mrityu Atyanda Visprati. There you will notice the same thing mentioned, Krishna mentioned. That is why Krishna is not taking it very seriously. Because this is going on with every Ahankaram in this world. If you start taking notice of all these things, that's Krishna's point about that. Mrityu Atyanda Visprati. That is it. What is that Atyanda Visprati means? Atyanda Visprati means that at the time of death, you are forgetting one body, and you start remembering another body. That means you can't come back to your old body again. You've completely forgotten this body. That verse is... It's a famous verse. And Mrityu Atyanda Visprati, Krishna says. Vishaya abhiniveshena almanam yad smared puna jandor vai kasyachi dhedor mrityu atyanda vismriti. Vishaya abhiniveshena yad smared almanam yad smared puna Jandor vai kasijit dhedor mrtyu atyanda vismrati. This atyanda vismrati, that means when the body, when we leave the body, at the time of death, the vasanas inside us are strong. And depending on the various vasana, many vasanas are inside us. Whatever may be the most powerful one among them will create the next body. There are a lot of vasanas inside. Out of that, the most powerful one will develop, and which is fructified, which is ready for taking a shape or form. In the form of vasana, it has no form, but now it's ready to take a form. So, in order that vasana to go through, it requires a form. That's why we again the body. Prarabdha vasana is this body. Because we have prarabdha vasana, that became prarabdha karma. And when vasana becomes a karma, it turns into the action level. From the vasana level, it comes to the action level. So when it comes to action level, it requires a body then. That's why prarabdha vasana becomes prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma becomes prarabdha shariram. It becomes the body. So similarly, at the time of death, from the subtle body, out of the many, many vasanas there, some of them will be very strong or ready for experiencing it. That means you require, that becomes prarabdha karma. That vasana becomes karma. And that is how prarabdha karma comes, and you have to have a prarabdha shariram. So when the prarabdha shariram is created, is already decided where, what form it is and all that, depending on that vasana inside, then ahankaram, like the caterpillar, moves from this body, it cannot come back to this body again at the time of death. This is what happened to our Bharata. Jadabharata's story in the Bhagavatam is to explain this. What happened to Jadabharata was that he was King Bharata. He was performing penances and he was preparing to leave the body to go back to the spiritual world. But suddenly, due to some vasana inside, the same thing what we were talking earlier today, that there was some vasana inside, therefore what happened to him? When he saw that big mother deer got frightened by the sound of the roaring of the lion, and delivered the baby, jumped over the river and died. You know that story in the fifth canto. Everybody knows that, isn't it? So when it jumped over the river, it dropped the baby in the water. And Bharata Maharaj was sitting in the river, chanting Gayatri, looking at the sun, and saw this baby deer coming on the side. Due to purva vasana inside, he felt that he has to save the deer. Gayatri is not important. He thought, I have to save this deer. That means sattugunam inside was high. And that is why it came and gave him trouble. Due to sattugunam gave him trouble. Karunyam, mercy towards that deer, baby deer. Took up the baby deer. And then he could have fed some milk from somebody and left the baby there. No. Got attached to it. And then the king, who left all the palace and kingdom and everything, went to the forest to perform penances to go back to spiritual world, got engaged in looking after this baby deer. How things have changed in his life. And then he got attached to that deer and all the time got absorbed in the deer. The result was that at the time of death, because one day death will come, when the prarabdham is over, he has to leave that body. While leaving the body, he was worrying about this deer. So that vasana about the deer became so strong inside, it came up at the time of death. So his ahankaram which was as Bharata Maharaj, moved away from this Bharata Maharaj's body into the deer's body, into the deer body. And then he stayed in that deer body. But as Krishna said before, that even such a thing happens because he has executed spiritual life, previous life. Krishna Archana Prabhavo no Jahadi, it says, that has helped him. Because he has executed spiritual life, even in that deer body, he realized who he was. The memory came back to him. There are many examples like that. In Jadabharata's case, this happened. And then when he left that body, he could not go back. From the deer body, there was no hope to going back. In the deer body, he stayed remembering he was Bharata Maharaj before. That's why in his next life, when he left the deer body, his vasanas inside was formed in such a way, he got a human birth. But because he was so concerned about getting involved in this world due to the knowledge, he did not want to get caught up in this world again. Therefore, he became Jadabharata. See how the vasanas forms the body. That's what you have to learn from that. How our own vasanas forms the next body in different stages. So from deer's body, he got this next body of in the Brahmana family with all this knowledge. But this one decision, what he has done, made inside, that happened to him, that I will not speak to anybody. Jadabharata, like Hastamalaga. These are all the effect of that vasana that is doing this. So he came, so at this time, the hangaram in the deer body moved on to the Jadabharata's body. And now in the Jadabharata's body is present there, and that was his last life, he got himself released. But in Jadabharata's body, that knowledge was coming up very well in him. And he never gave an opportunity to identify with the body anymore. He didn't want to identify with this body anymore while living in that body. And that's what you see there, Bharata Rahugana Samvadam, between Bharata and Rahugana. That discussion, if you read that, you will see every moment he is rejecting the body. And nothing to do with this body, nothing to do. Coming from that realization inside, that means Ahangaram is completely gone. Ahangaram is dead. His ahangaram was completely gone and he was purely on the spiritual platform, but because the prarabdham was there, the body was still staying. And it is that prarabdha shariram that was doing all that work, carrying Rahugana on the palanquin, and went and sat in front of the Bhadragali, and Bhadragali wanted to please him. All the stories what you read there is all that. So that one story in the Bhagavatam is the best example for this change of body, how it happens to all of us, to all of us. So ahangaram is the one which is linking between the two, between the body and the spirit and the soul, the body and the soul. In the same thing you will see also in the case of our Gajendra, in the 8th canto, that story. Indradyumna was a Pandya king. He was a Pandya king who Agastya Maharshi cursed him and made him an elephant. And that elephant's body, that memory has not gone of it, but body is elephant's body. Tamogunam inside, Agastya said that you have this body, take this body for the moment. And he has to remain in that elephant, poor man. And Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that prayers of fame is there, isn't it? So there also you will see the exactly the same thing happening. So,
where are we? No, yeah.
So this ahangaram has got this capacity. He will leave this body and he will get the next body. And he will make sure that he has another body waiting for him. Only then he will leave this body. He is very good at all these things. He is organizing everything, except he won't help you in your spiritual life. He will do everything to keep you here, this ahangaram. So, and what is his form? If you start thinking, what is his nature? How does he do all these things? Who is doing all these things? If you start inquiring about him, you won't find him. He is so funny that if you try to understand who he is doing all these things, you can't find him. He is not there anymore. So, and then he will come in another form afterwards. And actually, it begins when you are a little child. When you are newly born, it's not cause any problem. But after you have grown up 5-6 years, by then he starts, the ownership begins, the ahankaram begins. For example, you can see children when they play together, sometimes they will say, I'm playing the father's role. Somebody's playing a father's role. Somebody's playing a mother's role. Isn't it? Or other identities like a bus driver or an airplane pilot. Things like that children play. So you can see how the ahankaram is taking up roles. Already started as a child. It's already started at that time. And this is all its beginning. It's the beginning stage of the ahankaram's birth. And it is the same ahankaram when it grows, when you grow up later, saying, I am a politician, I am a businessman, I am a religious reformer, all these things. And in this way he begins and gets into all sorts of fields and takes his identity there. And who does all these things? It's this ahankaram. It's this ahankaram. As a child you will see like this, that they are playing each other. And this, you can see very clearly the children when they do that. In the little children, 5-6 years old, when they are playing, they want to play different roles. Why? Ahankaram has already taken birth inside. But little, when they are babies or 6 months old, it hasn't come to them yet. And when this ahankaram takes birth and starts acting like that, then the mother and father are saying, oh, now he has become sensible. That's when we say, oh, he is growing up now, he is becoming sensible. This is what we call sensible. Parents feel that, oh, I can trust him now. He can take responsibility now. We keep saying that. Why? Because ahankaram has come. Ahankaram has come. And it is the same ahankaram, whether you come to spiritual field also, it's the same thing. No difference at all. Somebody is saying, I am a GBC, I am a guru, I am a sannyasi, I am a temple president, I am a commander, I am a devotee. All this is nothing but who is saying? Ahankaram is saying. Nobody else. It has not gone. We are thinking, oh, once you have become a devotee, all that is gone. No, nothing is gone. It's all exactly in the same way inside. He will think, a GBC will think, I am a GBC. That's ahankaram. I am a president. That's another ahankaram. And I'm a sannyasi. It's another ahankaram. I'm a guru. That's ahankaram. Who is saying all these things? That same ahankaram. It's not different. He's so smart that he can change the role as and when he wants it. That's his beauty. He's very capable. And he can keep changing his identity all the time, if whatever that suits him, he will take. And if you try to find out who he is, there's no sign of him anywhere. So, and thinking about this ego all the time, and then you realize that it is not the body, and it is only a thought wave going on inside, and that thought wave, it is this ahankaram that is covering the soul. That's covering the soul. And it is this ahankaram not allowing you to realize the self. And he, not without allowing you to realize the self, he goes and sits there in the place of the soul. And therefore, unless you get him out from there, this knowledge of the self will not manifest. No, no. That is what Krishna said that. Remember? That, you see that? In that verse, when he said, Amulamedad, 17th verse. Amulamedad bahurupa rupitam. About ahankaram. Amulamedad bahurupa rupitam. Manovaja prana sharira karmam. Jnanasi nopasaneya shitena. Chitva munir gam vicharatya trishna. This is what he is talking about. So, if you try to find out where is he? If you can find out where he is, then you can do something about it. But you don't even know where he is. But he is there. And bahurupa rupitam. In all kinds of forms he is present inside, isn't it? So, therefore, he is more or less like a ghost. Ghost has no form, isn't it? But he is there, ghost is there, but he has no form. And similarly, he doesn't have a form. Of his own form, he doesn't have. Therefore, he is called a ghost. Why he is called a ghost? Ahankaram is called a ghost. Because he doesn't have his own form. He is taking our body and taking control over that and saying to everybody, I am here, I am here. But when you try to get him, he goes away. You can't find him. So ghosts also don't have their own body. But they have got vasanas inside. All the vasanas are there in the ghosts. Vasanas are there. Therefore, what they normally do, that somebody who is very, very weak, the ghost will catch them. A weak person will get affected by that. He'll go and get inside. And that is the nature of the ghost. Similarly, this ahankaram has come and caught us because we are very weak. It's like a ghost. Normally when we say about the ghost, what the ghost does is, somebody who is very weak and the ghost will take control of their mind, is it not? You know, when we talk about the ghost, that sometimes you say somebody is ghostly haunted by the ghost. And in the olden times they had methods of removing the, what do they call it, exorcist or something. Yeah, or removing the ghostly nature from a person. Lot of stories about that. So, similarly, this ghost called ahankaram has haunted us. It's inside us, all of us. And that is what we are, and that is our nature now. What that ghost inside, what he is doing, is that what we are doing now. So therefore, all these problems, what we have got. So when that ahankaram haunts somebody like us or whatever it is, he, just like the ghost, Pretham, ghost haunts a person, what happens is that Pretham will take its swabhava, that person who has, the weak person whom he has haunted, he will take its swabhava, its nature. Similarly, this ahankaram, when it haunts us also, that jiva's nature, ahankaram will have. That jiva, he is a jiva itself, but the swabhavam of that vasanas inside will be there in that ahankaram. So sometimes even a learned person in the Vedam, Shastram and everything, Vedanya is called, suppose by some reason if he has to become a Pretham, due to something what he has done, he may not get another gross body and he has become a ghostly form. So, in which situation what will happen is, suppose he gets into somebody who is not trained in the chanting of the Vedas, if this person gets into him, he will start chanting the Vedas nicely. Suppose a person who is well versed in the Vedam, chanting the Vedas, he became a ghost. Imagine that. He became a ghost. And then he got into another person's body as a ghost, and that person doesn't know anything about the Vedam. He doesn't chant the Vedas or anything. But because the ghost has got in, that person will start chanting the Vedam well, very well. So, and properly, because chanting Vedam is a great art. You know that it requires so much training, 10, 12 years, to get even some perfection inside. And those who are particular Yajurvedam, Rigvedam, all of them, and then, but you will suddenly start thinking, how is he able to chant so nicely? Because his ghost is gone inside, and he is doing it from inside. So similarly, suppose a very good musician, he became a ghost. And he got into the body of somebody who has no musical talent. But suddenly this person starts singing very well. He does not know anything about the music, no knowledge of the ragam, talam, nothing. But and his voice is also not good. But when such a person, suppose a Gandharva, who are the masters of the music, if they come and he comes and sits in this person's body, he will start singing. That's why sometimes we say about good musicians, Gana Gandharva we say. Gandharva. Why we say like that? Because there is some Gandharva in his body, some ghost has got in his body and singing like this. Sometimes, not always. So, therefore, all these different skills, that is what is carried inside in the vasana's form. So when you get into an ordinary person's body, suddenly he becomes highly musical with all the knowledge and he becomes very expert in that, and people start saying like that. So similarly, this ahankaram is wandering around like this in different bodies, like a ghost. In different bodies, it's wandering around. One body in one another body. So this has to be destroyed, Krishna is saying there. Jnanasin opasanaya shitena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. And in order to kill this, destroy this ghost, what do we have to do? Krishna is saying, take the help of a spiritual master and think about this, analyze it very well all the time and make it your own realizations. And if you do like that, vijaratya atrishna, you will come out of this problem. Atrishna. Upasana, guru, and proper service to that spiritual master, because if there is a proper relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, this ahankaram inside him, that the disciple, will melt. Because there is a feeling of submission there. This is what is important in the spiritual life also, that when there is a spiritual master, there has to have a relationship like that. That in his presence, one's ahankaram should die. One's ahankaram should die. So, jnanasi nopasaneya shitena chitva munirgam vijaratya trishna. So, Krishna says, kill that ahankaram and be established in the state of the spirit, Atma, Atmanishta, and wander through this world. Now if you ask the question, will it go if you analyze it inside? Will that fellow go away? If you ask that question, and I mentioned this story before also, that he will go, you won't be able to get him. Just like mentioned before, a marriage is going on. Both the bridegroom and the bride, they are both invited guests, isn't it? Marriage is going on. There is the people who are invited by the bridegroom's side. There were a lot of guests. There was a lot of guests from the bride's side as well. And they all come together for the marriage. At that time there was one person in the middle of that, and he's doing a lot of things which everybody didn't like it, what he was doing. So, but both were thinking that he must be from the bride's people were thinking he must be from the bridegroom's side. We shouldn't say anything to upset him. After all, he has come from the other side of the marriage. So they are keeping quiet about it. The bridegroom's people are thinking he must be a member of the bride's group. So we shouldn't say anything. We may upset them. So both were keeping quiet like this, and he was doing what he wanted all this time. So, after a while, he was doing so many things, both sides started getting upset with him. They couldn't bear it anymore. So then both started inquiring about him. As soon as he sensed that somebody is inquiring about him, he left. He left the scene and went away from there. Then you couldn't find him because the person who was inquiring, when he started coming, he got frightened and he went away from there. Similarly, this ahankaram, you have to inquire. This is what spiritual inquiry means. You have to inquire about him, then he will go. This is what Maharshi spoke, Ramana Maharshi's point. If you inquire about, it is there in the Bhagavatam also, in many, many places, that that's the only way, this is the jnana margam, vichara margam, thinking process, by which you can destroy that ego inside. No other way he will go easily. And if you try, this his nature is such that if you throw him out one angaram, he will take another dress and come in another form later. So, so rishis, they are saying that Atmanishta, Jnananishta. This is exactly the same meaning, all. Atmanishta, Jnananishta, Brahmanishta, Yoganishta, all means the same. Nishta means to be established in the self. To be established in the self. So, many years ago, it was probably in the early 1920, 25, that time, when Maharshi came to Tiruvannamalai first time, he was a young boy, 16 years old, after his first realization when he came here, and he was living very difficult life there at that time. There was no, and he was seriously absorbed in this self-inquiry at that time. Seriously absorbed in that. So at that time, mother was feeling separation. Mother was at home. So mother was inquiring, where has he gone? Without telling anybody, he left home and came away. So finally, mother came to know that he is in Tiruvannamalai, and he came there looking for him. When he came to see him, so finally when she went to see him, he was sitting in a cave in the mountain. The whole body was covered in dust and earth, everything. And he was absorbed in his inquiry. So serious he was that other living entities like spiders and scorpions and all, they were biting him and they were taking pieces of flesh from his body. And blood was flowing at different places. But he was so serious about his inquiry, it didn't bother him. Imagine. Because of this constant inquiry, he has managed to free himself from the body to that extent. So, and the mother comes there and sees him. And there was no many with him. He was alone. And there was no many associates with him. Some sannyasis and babajis were there in the Tiruvannamalai. They were saying that, oh, this is a new young sannyasi. He seems to be very serious. He's carrying on spiritual activity. There were so many people like that at that time. So mother came up and saw him, and mother told him that you should come back to the village where they come from in Madurai. So Maharshi wouldn't agree. So mother started crying for son to come back. So he says to him that Maharshi understood that he was not Maharshi then. He was not being Maharshi, is a name given to him much later. So there were a few devotees who used to see him in that state, and they were feeling for him. And he was not well known at that time. Only a few people who were locally, unlike today. Today, because media is there, you don't have to be anybody. The whole world will know you. Today it is like that, isn't it? You are nobody. But you will be known whole world. In them days, because there was no media like today, newspapers were there, but there were only few people read the newspaper. Nobody had so much interest, and printing was, distribution was a problem. Printing press was also not developed like the way it is today, isn't it? Today you go and see, even in the villages, small little functions, they develop huge color brochures. And you are shocked that at one time these things were considered very expensive. Now little things, they are developing big color brochures and photographs and everything, like a big event happening there. You know, so this is all due to this media's growth. But in this case also what happened was that there was nobody knew him. Only a few local people who were coming to Tiruvannamalai temple and to that ashram area, they will observe him in that cave. There is a young sannyasi. Because he was so young, 16 years old, everybody was interested why at such an age he has left everything and had come like this. They felt a little bit compassion for him, seeing his youth, everything. And then this mother comes, and mother wants him to come back. So finally mother started putting more pressure on him to come back home. Seeing the son's body, she was thinking that how sad it is. So some devotees were there. Devotees means who are locally visiting him. They told him, you have to pacify her somehow, otherwise it's going to be very, very difficult. So he won't speak also. He was quiet these days, very silent. Muni, as you say, the Muni word aptly suited him at that time. So he won't speak. So what the devotees told him was that if you can't speak, at least write something and give it to her. Give something in writing to her. What did he write? He wrote like this. Everyone, according to their prarabdham, takes birth and is controlled by the Supreme Lord. He controls everybody's life in this world according to their prarabdham. And what is meant to happen, no matter whatever you try to go against it, whatever way he tried to stop it, still it won't work, it will happen. This is what he wrote. Whatever has to happen, will happen. No matter what obstacle you try to put in front of that and try to stop it, it will not work, it will happen. What is not meant to happen, what is not meant to happen, no matter how much effort you put in to make that happen, it will not happen. He wrote these things, and therefore the best thing is to keep quiet. That was his message. That is, he wrote all these things and gave it to the mother. You can imagine that understanding, the depth of understanding was so good. That is spiritual platform. That means even at that age, he has realized what is the truth. That he has understood material nature so well that he told her this is what she had to say. And therefore he always told, later on also, he said the same thing to many of the devotees, that it's always better to remain silent and in that state practice the spiritual life. So the identity that when you have, that means, silent means that no ego. In that state there is no ego, isn't it? Because of the self-inquiry process, he is keeping that ego, by constantly inquiring about the ego, he is keeping it under control. And that is what it is. So, Atma-sarupam, that means, when you are inquiring about the self very seriously, you will also come to the same understanding. That means you are withdrawing from the world, go inwards, inquiring about that ahankaram's birth. And those who are serious about that, follow that process, for them there are so many books on that. Many people are following that process also, but it does require a lot of preparation inside, time and the determination to do that. So when he inquired, he says there that the being silent. In silence, this happens. Silence, this happens. And it is this silence which you will see in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam when Dakshayagam happened. When Daksha's problems with Lord Shiva, there Lord Shiva has been addressed as Dakshinamurti. That Dakshinamurti, he also follows this Maunam. Maunam Vyakhya Prakatitakatam. It says in the Dakshinamurti Sotram also. So Maunam, that Maunam is this inquiry process, silence. And that person who does that silence is called a Muni. And Krishna is saying that here. Chitva Muni Gam Vijaratya Trishna. Whenever Krishna says this word Muni, you have to be careful about that. Because normally we think, oh, Muni means somebody who is sitting with a long beard and with all tied up in the head, on the top white beard he has got, and who is always in meditation. No, what way to anyone who has withdrawn from the world and who is always silent, silent and thoughtful, silent and thoughtful, who is constantly doing self-inquiry, he is called a Muni. He is called a Muni. Not on the form, you shouldn't get affected by the form. But generally, as soon as somebody says a Muni, Maharshi and all, you get this impression that He has got a big beard and
sitting in the forest.
So, jnanam vivego nigamas tapascham pratyaksham aidikyam athanumanam. Adhyanda, 18th verse. Adhyanda yorasi yadeva kevalam kalascha hedischa tadeva madhye. That we have discussed yesterday. That in the beginning and the end, what is there, that is there only in the middle also, that's all there. And that has to be through Vedam and by engaging in dharma, sadharma anushtanam and pratyaksham, svanibhavam. All these things one should utilize to realize it. We said that yesterday also.
Jnanam, vivegam, nigamam, tapasya, pratyaksham, aidihyam, anumanam, adhyandayorasi yadeva kevalam.
Svanibhavam means, when we say svanibhavam, that you can see from your own experience in the world that in the vacant state and dream state, I am seeing the world. I am seeing the world. And I am also seeing in the deep sleep state, the world is disappearing. Disappearing. And again in the vacant state, the world is coming back. World is coming back. So, in this way, the world is coming and going all the time in my life. The world is in everybody's life. World is coming and going, isn't it? And in the middle, in the deep sleep state, ajnanam is also coming. Sushupti state, ajnanam is there, isn't it? World is coming every day in front of us, and it's going away, coming and going. Similarly, in the deep sleep state, ajnanam or avidya is also coming and going. So, right now in the vacant state, I don't have the same ajnanam like the way I had in the deep sleep. So, so at this point in time, in the vacant state, I feel that I know these things. But in the sushupti, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about the soul, about the body, about the mind, about intelligence, nothing there. And only thing what you know in the deep sleep state, that you didn't know anything, what was happening there. That's what you knew in the deep sleep state. So that ajnanam is also coming and going. The ignorance of the deep sleep is also coming and going, like the way the world is coming and going in the vacant state and in the dream state, isn't it? So in sushumti it is there, and when you wake up, it's gone. When you wake up, it's gone. That ajnanam has gone. So, just like it is, world is coming and going, and ignorance is coming and going, knowledge and ignorance is also coming and going. In the vacant state, knowledge is coming. Is it not? Only in the vacant state you can understand Shastram, what Krishna is saying. All this understanding is only possible in the vacant state. So in the vacant state, they are coming and going. Similarly, in the dream state, deep sleep state, ignorance is coming and going. When we go into deep sleep state, ignorance is coming. When we wake up into the vacant state, ignorance is gone. In the vacant state, knowledge is coming, and later on, the knowledge is going. Knowledge is also going away. So, all these are happening where? In Alma. Alma is present there, that's why all these things are happening. So, that is why, that is why this realization, what Krishna is talking about there, if you are not knowing anything, then you can say that ajnanam is that. If you are not knowing anything, if you are not knowing anything, it's called ajnanam. But this both two things, that's jnanam and ajnanam, it is dependent on something else. It's dependent on something else. That something else is awareness. That something else is the awareness. The jnanam, what is coming in realization in spiritual life of who we are, which is only possible in the vacant state. Is it not? Just like now we are talking about it, who we are. So somewhere in your inside, you are feeling that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, I am not the ego, senses, none of them. Somewhere inside is a slight realization that I am that awareness. because it's been spoken so many times. It will have its effect inside. But you're not able to hold on to that. Only you are accepting that at that point in time when you hear that. At that moment you are experiencing it, when you are hearing that. So, that is knowledge. Krishna says that's knowledge. Similarly, this in the deep sleep state, you are not aware who you are, but there is a lot of ignorance there in the deep sleep state. Therefore, you are not able to know who you are like the way you know who you are in the waking state. And what is present there is only ajnanam. Only ajnanam. So, in the wake, the knowledge in the waking state, or the jnanam in the waking state, and the ajnanam in the deep sleep, both these things are happening where? In my awareness. That's what's important to understand. So, jnanam and ajnanam, both are happening in the awareness. If the awareness is not there, this thing you won't know. This coming and going nature of the world coming and going is the what we are able to become aware of that in the waking state. So that thing, awareness, that was there even before I got this body, and it will still be there even when I lost this body, when the body goes away. Because why? Because in the deep sleep state it is there, therefore. So therefore, even the body goes away, or when the body is there, it is still there. It is still there when the body is there, or when the body goes away. And it was there before I took this body, and even when I leave this body, it will still be there. So, and therefore, that is what Krishna is saying, that it was there before I got this body, after I leave this body, also it is there. Therefore, when I have this body, only that is there. See the logic? Then, adhyandayo rasya tadeva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. First of all, to know that jnanam, knowledge and ignorance. Knowledge is, again, we'll repeat that. That knowledge is that in the state of vacant state, you are becoming aware of who you are. As we discussed all this morning, that I am not the ahangaram. Ahangaram is only a bridge between the matter and the spirit. But once my ahangaram has gone away, I become atma. And body lasts for some time till the prarabdham is over, and that will also disappear. So this understanding is knowledge, and where is that experienced? In the awareness. In the deep sleep state, when ajnanam is present, knowledge is not there who you are. You don't know who you are. Only thing is, when you come out of the deep sleep, you say, it was a good time. That's all you know. But the reason why you are not conscious, even though all upadhis have gone, body has gone, mind has gone, intelligence has gone, senses have gone, even though all of them has gone, in the deep sleep state, still you didn't know who you were. In spite of that. Normally, upadhis are the problem. Because of the upadhi, we are identifying with that, and we are unable to know our identity. But now upadhis have all gone, still you did not know who you were in the deep sleep state. Because of the ajnanam. So ajnanam is coming in the deep sleep state, and it leaves you in the vacant state. And here in the vacant state, jnanam is coming and it's leaving you also. So both these jnanam and ajnanam coming and going is happening where? Because if these things have to happen, there must be somewhere it has to happen. There should be a base for that. And that base is awareness or avabodham. And that is there when the body, and it was there even when I had this body, it was there. And when I lose this body also, that awareness is still there. And because it was there before I had this body, and it is still there after I left this body, that means that is the only thing that is there when I have this body also. Adhyandayo rasaya deva kevalam kalascha hetuscha tadeva madhye. That is what that is saying. It is only that awareness that is present in the middle also, which was there before you got the body, which is there after you lose this body. So when the body is there also, only he is there. This awareness alone is there. And then he gave the example, he said, Yada hiranyam sukhrutam purastat paschascha sarvasya hiranmayasya Tadeva madhye vivaharyamanam nanabadeshe ahamasya tadvat, which we have discussed yesterday. Only that gold was there before and gold is there at the end. In the middle, you have got all the other jewelry and everything, different forms. Then, but in reality, there is only gold in the middle also. Maybe it has changed its form. So, nothing else has been created there except gold. Gold was present in the beginning, gold is present at the end. So, therefore, in the middle also, tadeva madhye vyavahariyamanam nana avadeshe ahamasya tadvad. So, whatever name you may say that, it's all at the end of the day, it's all gold. Similarly, whatever that you have spoken, whatever the knowledge was there before creation, and whatever knowledge is there after creation, it is the same knowledge after destruction also. Whatever knowledge was there before creation, creation is not the beginning, knowledge is the beginning. It is from knowledge creation happened. So whatever knowledge was there before creation, and whatever knowledge is existing at the while in the when it is after creation, it will be the same knowledge that will be present after destruction also. So, which means that whenever the knowledge that is present now is also what was there before the creation happened. Ahamanya tadvad. And Krishna says, ahamasya tadvad. So that knowledge is this awareness. Is that awareness? So aham bodham, that awareness is the one that was present before, and it will be this awareness after death also. So therefore in the middle also there's only awareness. Why? Because aham bodham is real. What Krishna is establishing here is ahankaram we have seen is a false thing, is it not? But Krishna is saying to us, ahankaram is false. Krishna agrees with that. But aham bodham is not false. That's what the point Krishna is making here. Aham bodham, which was there before creation, which is there now in the form of awareness, which will be there after destruction. Therefore, aham bodham is there all the time. Before creation, now and after destruction. Ahankaram is not like that. Ahankaram is like the thief who was running around. When he is destroyed, he is gone. He has no existence. So, so that is that. What it is? Tadeva madhye vyavaharyamanam nana avadeshe ahamasya tadvad. Why I am repeating all these verses again, although we discussed yesterday, that if ever you get interested in the jnana margam, if ever you get interested in this Jnana Yoga, what Krishna has spoken in this 28th chapter, I don't know, everybody is different in this world. If you are attracted to it, these verses are real jewels in the Bhagavadam. These verses of what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava gives you such a clarity inside about everything what you are looking for in the spiritual life. You won't have any doubts about anything. Only thing is, making it as your own. That is every individual responsibility. Nobody can do anything about it. But that clarity with which Krishna has spoken these verses, he has put it in such a fine format, from so many Upanishads, in Krishna's language it has come. And that is its own beauty. And you can see, it's like, normally to get this knowledge, what Krishna has said here, you may have to study so many Upanishads. Brahma Sutra, all books you have to study. But here, like a good supermarket, everything is brought together and presented, gave it to you. Krishna has done that in these verses. So it can be of great help to someone who is interested in this process, Jnana Marga. For him, it's a real asset, these verses. That's why we are discussing this once again, going through it, to if ever you feel worthwhile listening to these verses, because this is not katha, this is fact, and spoken very open and straight to Uddhava before leaving this world. So therefore it has its own value in spiritual life. And so many things Krishna has put. These are actually only for those who are very serious about spiritual life. This is for the serious student who is very serious, who doesn't want anything in this world except spiritual life for them. For others, there are other projects written down. So many other projects also in the spiritual world. In this world, so many people say that they want to be comfortable here and they want to change the world. They want to make the place better and then they want to go to the spiritual world. For them, there's other projects here. So here he's saying, Vijnanameda Triyavastha Mangam Gunatrayam Karana Kari Kartrum Samanya Yanya Vidriga Dascha Yanyava Turiyana Tadeva Satyam. 20th verse. He says, that aham bodham, Krishna says here, if it is not ahankaram, but then what is the knowledge of that? What does that mean, aham bodham? So, because that aham bodham, the beauty of aham bodham, he won't join anybody. Unlike ahankaram. Ahankaram has got this nature, he can join with the body and take the identities. Aham bodham won't do that. It's very nice whether he said that. Aham bodham won't join anybody. He will remain aloof from everything. So one person went to see a tiger in the forest. He wanted to see the tiger in a cave. So he saw a tiger entering into the cave. Then afterwards, so he went inside. After a while, we saw only the tiger was coming out. Only the tiger was coming out. The person who went inquiring after the tiger, he didn't come back. Similarly, this is the example Maharshi used to give. He said self-inquiry is like that. You went there looking for him, but then you didn't come back. You got inside the cave and the tiger ate you. He has eaten you, so you couldn't come back. Only tiger came out. So similarly, here also, spiritual inquiry is like that. That spiritual master and Krishna here will both give instructions to a person. And that in that sense, spiritual master and Krishna is one and the same. They are not different. So, like you got involved with the tiger, you went to see the tiger, isn't it? You got into the cave, but you didn't come back. You didn't come back after that. Similarly, by the grace of the spiritual master, or by the grace of Krishna, that he will be protected, and he will never be left out. He'll be taken care of. But individually, everybody has to put the effort. Grace just won't come like that. Although grace is, you can't justify what's the reason behind the grace, Krishna's grace or spiritual master's grace. It's difficult to explain what that is, why it is. But normally it is understood that it won't come like that. Only for a person who is serious. Otherwise Krishna wouldn't have spoken about that vyavasaya almiya buddhi in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? If everything was grace like that, vyavasayalpiya buddhi would not have been spoken. The fact that Krishna mentions vyavasayalpiya buddhi, ekeha kurunandana, bahushaka anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Why did he say that? Because there is certain amount of commitment and effort from the person's side also. So the idea is that whatever instructions Krishna has given, you have to take into the heart very seriously and make it as our own. Only then Krishna will be pleased. Otherwise, how Krishna will be pleased? If I stand in front of Krishna and says to him, Krishna, you got a very nice dress today. You look very beautiful today. And then next day another dress, and you go and say to Krishna, one day Krishna will get bored with us. He'll say, you're coming and telling me the same thing every day about my dress. What about everything I've told you to do? What have you done about it? And then you tell him, no, look, that's a bit too much. You're asking me. So that relationship also will be like that, in that way. But if you take the instructions and listen to it, and make it as your own to the extent whatever one can in one life, then that pleases Krishna, not otherwise. That pleases Krishna. So, if we do like that, Krishna says there, that this upasana is that, this knowledge, cultivating this knowledge and making it one's own, if you do like that, this ahankaram will go, because ahankaram is what Krishna has spoken here, all about this ahankaram, isn't it? He started, how did he end up in this ahankaram? Because of Uddhava's question. Uddhava's question was, first Krishna spoke about spiritual realized state, first 9 verses. After that, Uddhava said, then, who is having this misery? When Krishna spoke about Alpa, Uddhava asked, who is having the misery? Then Uddhava's doubt was, body cannot have the misery, material existence. Mind cannot have, intelligence cannot have, senses cannot have. None of them can have the miseries, because they are all dead matter. Alma, on the other hand, is pure, liberated, always, and fully conscious, and totally eternal it is. He also can't have it. Then who is having the misery? Uddhava asked the question. In answer to that, Krishna brought up this character called Ahankaram and made us aware what this Ahankaram means, what we have spoken today. Between the spirit and the matter, when they come together, it's him who is building the bridge between the two. He takes birth. And that's called Ahankaram, Jiva, subtle body, and all other names what I have mentioned before, that's all him. And it is that Ahankaram Krishna is discussing in all these verses, how to get rid of him. That's all the process, this Jnana Yogam process is, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that if you do that, these instructions you follow, that Ahankaram will go from a person. Ahankaram will go away. And it will happen to the same thing what happened to that person who went looking for the tiger into the cave. He won't come back. He'll be eaten. Who eats him? Like the tiger is eaten, Ahankaram will be eaten by the Ahambodham. Ahankaram will go there, and Ahambodham will eat him, because you have come to Ahambodham then. So the person has, he won't come back. This is a fine example, beautiful example, to tell us how Ahankaram disappears when inquiry starts, spiritual inquiry starts. But the problem is that Ahankaram, you have to be all the time on top of it. Otherwise he will get up and he will take another form and come. So that's why till the stage comes when he doesn't get up again. Up to that point, this self-inquiry has to go on. Just like till we go back to the spiritual world, you have to chant the holy name in the same way. Is it not? So you can't say that I've chanted how many rounds, now everything is over, I've done my part. That's not possible. Till you realize the truth, you have to chant the holy name. So that isn't the bhakti, this isn't the jnanam. Whether jnanam or bhakti, the effort is there. The effort is there both. So, that's what happens. When the self-realization happens, it is over. Then he is not there anymore. Who? Ahankaram has gone away. And that is called vijnanam. That's called vijnanam. All this is jnanam, but when it has been put into practice and that ahankaram has completely disappeared, that state is called vijnanam or anubhavajnanam. And that you can see in the vacant state, in sattugunam, in sapnam, dream state, rajogunam, in sushupti, tamogunam. These three things are there in the three modes of material nature, isn't it? So that's what he's saying there. Vijnanam eda triyavastam angam. Gunatraya karana kari kartram. Samanyo yene vidriyega dascha. Yene iva turiyana tadeva satyam. Tadeva satyam. So because of the three modes of material nature, Krishna is saying that it is because of that only these three states are coming to us. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. It's only because of that these three states we are experiencing always. And when these three states, in all these three states, he is saying there, gunatrayam, karana, karya, kartram. And similarly, five material elements, and the tanmatra. Tanmatra means its subtle form. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. Earth, water, air, ether, and fire are the five elements. And its subtle form is Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. And then the senses, mind, demigods, all of them are, he says, Gunatrayam Karana Karyagat. They are all responsible for this present state where we are now. So, why? Because why do they say demigods? Because from Satya Ahankaram, if you look into the creation, you will see the devadas were born, mind were born. Remember, if you go into the third canto, you will see when the creation process was spoken from Satya Ahankaram. Remember, Ahankaram was first thing is Ahankaram. Okay, from Mahatattvam, Maya. Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam, Ahamdattvam. Ahamdattvam is Ahankaram. That Ahankaram split into three. Satya Ahankaram, Rajas Ahankaram, Tamas Ahankaram. From Satya Ahankaram, the demigods were born, devadas were born, mind were born. From Rajas Ahankaram, born the senses. And then five material elements, and their tanmatra, they came from the tamas ahangaram. So, from these three ahangarams is what we are seeing everything here. Everything what we see here has come from these three different kinds of ahangaram. So, all of them are surviving due to the presence of this ahangaram. And they also, in order that to remain, the awareness is necessary behind. Atma Sarupam. If Atma is not there, then none of them are present there. None of them are present there. And this you will see, this principle is famous, that the Vedantam will explain to us that only in the presence of this awareness, all this big drama that's going on here can happen. Creation, similarly our senses, mind, intelligence, ego, all of these things. So, without that awareness, all others have no real existence. It is no reality, as far as existence is concerned. And no living entity, no thoughts, and everything is this awareness. This is how they conclude from this. So, I think we'll have a short break. We'll continue with that.
Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahadavagmim arvavanam Shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandamdhi vardhanam pradivada purnamrada svadhanam Sarvatna suvanam varam vijayade Shri Krishna Sangeetanam Namnamagari bahudani jasarva shakti Trapidani nidasmarane nekala Edadrashi tavakrupa bhagavan mamapi Nurdaiva medrishami hajani nanuraga Trinaravishani jainam taroravi sahishnunam Amani namana vena kirtaniya sadahari Madhanam madhanam nasundanim kavidam vachagadishakamai Mama janmani janmani ishvari bhavadad bhaktirahe dugitui Nandadanyam jagingaram padidam shavai bhavam pudau Kravayatava padapanga jastiraduli sadrasham vichindaya Nayanam kaladashudharaya padanam gargarudhaya gira Pulagayam jidam kadava bhutavam nama grahane bhavishari Vigayidam nimeshena chakshusha bhavishayidam Shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda grahe name Ashrishyavat adaradam vinashtumam adarshanam amahadam karotuva Yadadadava vidadadulam radomal prananadhasunayevana
Vijnanamedan Trayavastamangam Gunatrayam Karanakarya Kartram Samanyayena Vidregadascha Yenaiva Tudhyena Tadeva Satyam. Krishna is saying that that perfection is when we realize that there is only awareness. There is only awareness. Because in this creation, except that awareness, there is nothing else here. What we are, ahankaram is experiencing, is all false. Because ahankaram itself belongs to prakriti. So, so, and he gives here that just like in the, so in a garland of pearls, or the pearls are tied together with a thread, and it's called the garland, isn't it? Because that in every pearl in that garland requires that thread, requires the thread, and the thread is holding them all together. Similarly, it is that thread is the awareness. It is in its awareness that all the living entities are strung. They have made this garland of all the living entities together. But the thread that is connecting all the living entities in this world is this awareness, is this awareness. So, but when we see a garland, sometimes we may not see the thread. We will see only the pearls in the thread. But we can imagine that without that thread, that garland cannot exist. The pearls cannot stay together. Similarly, that is what he is saying there. Samanvayenam vidrega dascha yenaiva turyena tadeva satyam. Similarly, for this creation also, without that thread, that vastu, awareness, this cannot stay. That's what is holding it all together. This whole creation, it's held together by that awareness. That's what it is holding together. But if the world is not there, this creation is not there, the thread can stay still. That is Anyaya Vedregam. Remember? Yenaiva Sati Turiyana Tadeva Satyam. Anyaya Vedregam means that Anyaya means that the garland is there and the thread is there and the pearls are there. The garland is there, the thread is there, the pearls are there in the thread, and they are holding it together. Vedriga means that the garland is not there, the pearls are not there, but the thread is staying there still. That's the thread. Thread can stay on its own. Thread can stay on its own. So, if the thread is there, the garland is there. If the thread is not there, the garland is not there. So, that is the way it is. Anyaya Vedregasyam. So, without that awareness, the creation won't be there. But even if the creation is not there, the awareness can stay on its own. Awareness can stay on its own. Bodham, our bodham, isn't it? That is what he is saying there. Enaiva Turyena Tadeva Satyam. So, that awareness that I am existing, Kevala Jnanam, and that is completely independent. And even if all this creation is not there, it can remain. It can remain. And therefore, Atma Swarupam. Atma Swarupam. Atma is absolute. Atma is absolute. It's not a relative thing, dependent on something else. It is absolute. And that's what Krishna is showing there. And Nayat Purasadudayana Paschal Madhyajatana Vyapadesha Matram. Krishna says there, and Budam Prasiddham Jit Parena Yad Yad Tadeva Tatsyadinime Manisha. Krishna is saying here that in his opinion, in a very humble way, Krishna is saying that cause is the Satta, and Karanam Karyam, cause and effect. Cause and effect. Without karana, without cause, effect cannot be there. Cause has to be there to have the effect. So, without the presence of cause, the effect has no reality. Effect has no reality. Because cause is the satta, essence. And there is nothing separately as karyam. Karyam is not separate. Karyam is there because karanam is there. That's why karyam is there. Karana karyam. That's how they call in the shastram. So, if you, when you look at it like that, karanam is always alma. And if you take the alma away, karyam will disappear. What Krishna is saying, Krishna is the karanam, isn't it? And that's why Krishna is saying about that in a very humble way, he puts it, because he is the karanam of all the things. So he is saying there that the root cause of all this is me. I am that, mula karanam, or cause of everything, karanam, atma. In other words, in the Jnani's language, atma sarupam, otherwise Krishna. So once you take me out of this equation, then there is no karyam, there is no world, nothing exists after that. So, if you take the karanam away, karyam will disappear. Therefore, actually only karanam is the truth, karyam is not the truth. That's the point he is saying there. That nayat purastar dayanna paschal madhyaja dandanda vivadesha matram bhudam prasiddham ja parayana yadya tadeva dasyadidime manisha. So, tadeva dasyadidime manisha. So, only atma or karanam is the only truth. World is not truth. Again, Krishna is establishing that. Karanam is the truth. Karanam, Krishna is the karanam. Or atma is the karanam. And that is the satyam. World is not satyam. And avidyamano api avabhasateyo vaikariko rajasa sargamesha brahma swayam jyoti rado vibhadi brahmendri arthatma vigara chitram. He says there that senses, sense objects, mind, all the emotions that comes from that, five material elements, in this way, we are seeing so many things here, is it not? Through the sense objects, senses, mind, and interaction due to that, the different emotions they create, five material elements, in this way we see the creation, we see the creation. Krishna's point is, they are not separate from the Atma. They are not separate from the Atma. You will see this in the Sadarshanam also. He mentions this in the third verse. He says this, that Sarve nidanam jagadoham ascha vachya prabhu kaschid abhara shakti chitretra lokyam cha vilohita cha pada prakashot abhavatsameka. Sarvai nidanam jagadoham ascha. Sarvai nidanam jagadoham ascha. For my existence, my awareness, and for the existence of this world, it is that Supreme Consciousness that is the reason behind that. If that consciousness is not there, from which we are a part of that, isn't it? That Supreme Consciousness is a limited in us, present in us. And Vachya Prabhu Kaschid Apara Shakti. And the power of that Supreme Consciousness is unlimited. Unlimited power. And Chitre Atra Lokyam Cha Vilokita Cha. In this world, the picture is the world. And there, and the canvas, the light, all these things are together, the seer and the seen, all is that thing, consciousness. When that manifests, it manifests in the form of the world, manifests in the form of the living beings, names and different forms, and the creation in other ways. All these things are nothing but that vastu, which is the cause, the satta or essence or atma, its manifestation that all these things are. So, sarve nidanam jagadoham ascha vachya prabhu kaschid apara shakti chitre atra lokyam cha vilokita cha Pataprakashot Abhavatsameka. He puts the Maharshi says here that the in this world you have a picture, you have a canvas, and you have a light to see that. And there is the seer who is seeing the picture, and there is the object which is being seen. All of these things is nothing but Atma alone. Atma alone is Atma's manifestation, he says there. So we see this world in a very big way, in the sense that in various ways, isn't it? If you look at the creation, what all there in this creation? If you look at it from the Shastram side, material elements. But the names and forms it has taken in this world, in various forms and way, mountains, rivers, and land, landscapes, and forests, and different kinds of living entities, 8.4 million or whatever number of living entities, all of them together you have to look at the variegatedness of this picture called the world. And we are experiencing the presence of all these things. We know they all exist, they all exist. Who is giving that awareness inside of their existence? And that is that Atma. Atma's presence from which everything has come. What Krishna is saying there, that it is from Atma all of them have come, including us. All from the Atma we have come. And we are all conscious of each other, of our awareness of our existence. And that is also because we have come from Atma and the presence of Atma. So, just because when we are seeing this creation in this way, is there any question, when you are seeing this creation in this way, is there any question that there is a force, power, or a person behind that who is making us experience all these things in this way we are experiencing now? Why is that we are experiencing the world like this? There has to have a force inside us who is making this happen. So, all this what we see, all the names and forms, and the light that that makes us experience this existence of all these things, and the person who is seeing that, and that person which is nothing but ahankaram in another form, and all of them is dependent on one thing, that is Atma. That is Atma. And where is it? It's all happening in the Atma. In the Atma it is happening. And therefore all those objects and everything is only one. That's the point. One vastu. One vastu. That is avidyamanopi avabhasate yato avabhasate yo vaigariko rajasa sargamesha. And Brahma Swayam Jyotirato Vibhadi Brahmendriyar Atma Vigara Chitram. They are all called Vigaram. Vigaram means transformation of the original Brahma. Brahma's different transformation is what we are seeing in this world, in the creation. Just like in the television you can see so many pictures, and all those pictures are in the screen. It's not in the screen, the screen itself is that at that time. And it is not that screen is there and there is pictures inside, but when we see, that's what we see, only the screen, isn't it? A screen is what we are seeing, and what we are seeing is the pictures there. That when you are looking at the picture, you are not seeing the screen in it without the picture. You are only seeing the picture, isn't it? But it appears to you as though there is all these things what's happening on the screen, all existing there. So similarly, this creation also is like that picture. But there is a screen behind it, and that screen is Atma. That screen is Atma. So if this awareness, that means in Swarupam, and in that Atma, we are also there. We are also there in that. And everything is perfectly situated there. If this knowledge comes, evam spudam brahma viveka hetupi parabhavadena visharadena.
Chittu Atma Sandeham Uparameda
Ananda Tushto Akhila Kamugebhya. He says, if you have proper instructions in spiritual life, in this process, then you will be able to remove all the upadis. Upadis means this mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, everything, that will go away. And you will realize that this, I am not this gross body. I am not this gross body. Because gross body is drishyam. And I am seeing my body, I am drik. I am drik. So how can I be the drishyam? I am only the drik. And the person who is seeing is not the one what is being seen. Therefore he can conclude that I am not this body. And I am not this body. It is not difficult. Then there is senses. Then shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. These five sense objects. And that's what he's saying here. That the shrotram. These five subtle tanmatra they are called. Shabdam, that means sound. Touch, taste, form, and smell. Five things. They are tanmatra. In order these tanmatras to experience, you require these ears, then skin, then tongue, and then eyes, and then nose. These five tanmatras, to experience them, you require these five senses. Shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham. To experience that, you require shrotram, tvokka, and jihva, and then chakshusa, and then smell with the kranam. So, those things are there. And so, then similarly, and you will know that these senses are not you. Those senses are not you. Neither the tanmatra nor the senses. That's not you. Then, five senses of action are there in the body. I am not that either. Vaka, Pani, Padam, Upastam, like that. The five senses of action. And nor, similarly, that means all the five senses of knowledge and the five senses of action, they are karanam. Karanam means they are tools for operating in this world. They are the tools given to us. Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action. Meant for my activities. And how can I be that? I can't be that. They are not me. Similarly, there is five pranam, five different kinds of air in the body. Yogis will say that. Prana, pana, samana, udana, vyana. Five pranam. And they conduct five different businesses in this body, different things in this body. And none of them is me. Pranam and the five different different airs in the body, that's also not me. So, this life air, pranavayu, and the air outside, they are similar, but but when it comes to that vayu also, even though it is inside, pranavayu, it's also jadam. We say it has got pranam, life in there. But in reality, actually, it's also jadam, like the air outside. So, because I am not jadam, it is only due to the presence of Atma, soul, inside, that this air which we are breathing, it gets strength. It operates in the body. It operates in the body. Otherwise, air is jadam. Air doesn't have the life in that. The air what we are breathing, when it goes inside, we call it life air, isn't it? We call it life air. How did it become life air? Because of the presence of Atma inside. Otherwise the air inside and outside is one and the same. There is no difference. So the it became life air, and we start thinking that there is life in that air. Air doesn't have the life. Life is separately in the soul. It's in the consciousness that's come. So, similarly, air also doesn't have any knowledge of its own. It doesn't have any knowledge. Prana doesn't have any knowledge. So what Krishna is saying, senses are all inert. They have no life. They cannot function without the presence of Atma. Both the senses of knowledge and the senses of action. Similarly, the five different kinds of air, pancha prana, the prana also has no life in it. It gets its life only in the presence of Atma, presence of the soul. So prana also is not me. Prana also is not me. Then the question is, that is the mind me? No, because the nature of the mind is thinking, isn't it? Thought waves. So, if the thought waves are not there, am I not there still? So, when I stop all the thought waves, I am still there. So, therefore, to know that I am existing, I don't need to think about it. I don't need to think, do I exist? Without thinking, I know I exist. So, you don't need to think to confirm that you exist or not. Anybody knows that. So, whereas, therefore, that awareness is the one that is giving that life to everything, whether it is senses, whether it's mind, whether it's prana, whatever it may be, in this body various things are functioning there, in the form of the mind, in the form of intelligence, in the form of knowledge, acquiring senses and senses of action. No matter what it is, they all have life only due to the presence of Atma. That's the most important thing. And when you want to know somebody else existing, you require the senses to know. I need the eyes to see someone present there. And none of the senses can operate without the presence of the mind. The presence of the mind. And to hear, to see everything, you require the mind. You require the mind, isn't it? Say, in a dark room, to know that I'm existing, I don't require light, I don't require the sound, I don't need to be touched to check whether I'm existing or not. So, I don't need any senses. I can even close my eyes and still say, I'm there, my existence, isn't it? So, that I know. But if I want to know that somebody else is there in the dark room, I need senses to see. Or I have to touch, or I have to hear from him, only then I can say that he is existing. So, therefore, I require the help of the senses to know that somebody else is present there. So, therefore, I am not the mind. I am not the mind. Whereas awareness, you are always, without the help of senses and the mind, you are conscious of it. So, and suppose all the karma vasanas, all the sense objects are present, sense objects. And then all your karma vasanas have gone. Karma vasanas have gone from inside. Then that knowledge what I had before, when I had that karma vasana, that means my experience of the sense objects. That knowledge of the sense objects, that knowledge which was carrying the knowledge of the sense objects, my knowledge which was actually held the knowledge of the sense objects, that's also not me. That's also not me. Like the ignorance I had in the deep sleep state, it is that same ignorance in the wakened state, in another form, is present in me, carrying all the knowledge of the sense enjoyment. You know? Like in the ignorance, in the deep sleep, how you felt ignorance of your real awareness is covered by ignorance, isn't it? Atma is covered by the ajnanam, tamasa. That is why we say karana shariram. It's another name for that ajnanam is karana shariram. Karana shariram means causal body. Causal body is that ajnanam which is covering the awareness in the deep sleep state. That is ajnanam. That ajnanam, in the vacant state, how does it come? It comes in this way, about sense gratification. Knowledge of acquiring gratification through senses and the mind. Through senses of the mind. That is also ajnanam. Ajnanam is another form. That is experienced in the vacant state. So, that ajnanam or ignorance in the vacant state is not me. Is not me. And the ignorance in the deep sleep state is also not me. And because only thing is, I didn't know anything when I went to deep sleep. That knowledge is me. Awareness. That's me. Who knew that in the deep sleep state I didn't know anything? That you didn't know anything in the deep sleep state. That's what you say when you wake up in the morning. So that awareness, which was conscious that you didn't know anything in the deep sleep state, that awareness is us, is what we are. So, if you were not that, how will you know that I didn't know anything in the deep sleep state? So it is in that awareness that you, this knowledge that you didn't know anything is situated. So when that awareness is there, you can say that I didn't know anything. Suppose you didn't have that awareness, you won't be able to say that when you wake up in the morning. In other words, that this is the reason why Shastram is saying, whenever I am referring to myself, actually my identity is knowledge, awareness. And that is why in the Bhagavatam, when that verse was spoken, Vatandita Tattvavidam Tattvam. What is the tattvam? Yal jnanam advaya jnanam. Advaya jnanam is the tattvam. That is what it is indicating. Of my true identity is awareness or knowledge. Awareness or knowledge. Jnanam. Yatta jnanam, advaya jnanam, it is called in the Bhagavatam. That's the only way you... Because it doesn't have a form. It doesn't have a form. It is jnanam, it is. It doesn't have a form. You can't give a form to it. It doesn't have any qualities, transcendent, like sattvam, rajasa, tamasa. None of them exist in that. It's pure, and it is eternal, and it is conscious all the time, awareness, and it is pure. And it is pure. And it is liberated. It cannot be touched by anything. That's all is covered in that verse. And Krishna is saying there, that is my swarupam, that's my form. My form is that awareness. So, the thing that what I do not know, if you keep on rejecting that, so when you say that what I do not know, that is not my swarupam. What I do not know is not my swarupam. But that awareness which says that I don't know is my swarupam. So, in this way, when you are rejecting everything, one after the other, there is one vastu, that means I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, I am not the senses, I am not the senses of knowledge, I am not the senses of action, I am not the I am not the prana, five prana, life air. And in this way I have rejected everything. Including, I am not the three modes of material nature. After rejecting everything, something that is left behind, awareness, that's me. That is me. And that awareness is Sata Chitta Anandam. Sata Chitta Anandam. And and that is what he is saying. Chittu Atma Sandeha Uparameta Swananda Tushto Akila Kamugebhya. That is what Chittu Alpa Sandeham Upayarameta. With that, all the doubts will go. So when you have rejected everything and you have come back to this awareness, then all the doubts have gone. And once you have known that, you will know who you are. You will know who you are. And then there will be no Sandeham. Alpa Sandeham. Alpasandeha means doubt about yourself. then your doubt about yourself will be gone. So ananda ishtogila kamugebhyam. So he will say goodbye to all the desires then. There won't be any more desires. Desires will all go away. That's why in Jnanamargam they give importance to this. Desirelessness. Completely freeing from desires. So he won't have any desires, because in Atma there is no desire. Desires are all in the mind, isn't it? Desires are all in the mind. Because you can only desire something if something else exists separately from Atma. There is no two anymore. There is only Atma present, nothing else. So what can you desire? Atma on its own has no desire. Desire is coming only when Dvaitam comes. You exist, something else exists. Then one desires the other. So in the realized state, because there is only Atma, there is no second thing existing, only Atma is existing, therefore there is no desires either. He sees that everything he sees is Atma, and that is what is called in the Bhagavatam as Atma Rama. Remember that? Atma Ramascha Munayo Nargrantha Vivrikrame Kurvandi Ahaitukim Bhaktim Ittam Buddha Guno Hari. You will see a verse there in the second canto. So, Atma Rama means Apta Kama, that there is no more desires. That is a symptom of Atma Rama. And to stay in that state is called Swananda Tushta. What Krishna calls it as Swananda Tushtokila Kamugebhyam. That means he is completely in the realized state without any desires, knowing who he is. He knows who he is. So therefore there is no desires. So whatever it may be, all these objects, what's their products or whatever, living entities, Namarupam, everything that is present in this world, whether they exist or they don't exist, due to that, it will have no impact in him inside. In his Swarupam, in his Jnanam, in his awareness, there will be no impact, whether they all exist or they don't exist. There will have no impact on him. So, and he gives that example in the next verse. Samahitai Samahi the Nalmavabu Parthivam Indriyani Deva Asur Vayujalam Hudasha Mano Annamatam Dishananja Satvam Aham Kridi Kham Chidi Arthasamyam. So you can see there that clouds are created by the sunshine, and that the water in the ocean and the reservoirs, all the water becomes a steam and it gets converted into clouds. And that clouds have been formed because of the power of the sun. And that clouds are living in the sky. They are all situated in the sky. And they, after they have become clouds, this water, they don't remember about the sun anymore. And the sun is the predominating deity for the eye. Devata for the eye is the sun. So because of the presence of the sun only, this eye can function. Otherwise, eyes cannot function. And these clouds, what were created by the sun in the form of clouds, itself becomes a block between our eye and the sun. And remember, sun is the predominating deity for the eye. And sun is in the sky. And sun is the controller of our eyes as well. And what the sun has created from the tanks and the reservoirs and the ocean, from the water, they were made into the form of clouds, and they come and block the vision of the sun by the eye. So similarly, the example is, Atma is present, the spirit, Atma is present there. And we want to see the Atma, but Atma in conjunction with this body, mind, intelligence, senses and everything, it has created this ego. And that ego itself is a block between us and realizing the Atma. Between us and the Atma. It comes in between. This example is like that. If you can remember that example, then Atma itself, due to its contact with the body, material elements and other things, it has created Ahangaram, isn't it? Which we discussed this morning. Atma and the combination of Atma and the matter and the spirit. So spirit in combination with the matter, it has created Ahangaram. And that Ahangaram itself is becoming a block in front of us. And that means Jiva or Ahangaram also is, when we say Ahangaram, you do not look at it as a one object. When we say Jiva, Jiva is that force of the Atma in the Ahangaram. Ahangaram cannot survive without the presence of Atma. Ahangaram can only function if there is Atma present in the Ahangaram. So that aspect of, that is in the fourth canto, you can read that, when in what is called Yoga Desham, when Lord Shiva instructs the Prajetas. At that time he will talk about that. So what he is saying is that Ahangaram can only exist if there is life in that Ahangaram, and that is called Jiva. That is called Jiva. So therefore we say Ahangaram is Jiva. So it is Jiva's quality, this Ahangaram. It is not Atma's quality, it is Jiva's quality. So this Ahangaram is the block in between the Jiva and the Atma. Between the, that means Jiva, which is also nothing but Atma. Nothing but Atma. And it wants to know Atma, not Atma. The only blockage there is this Ahangaram is like a screen in between, like a screen in between. So that means it is not allowing the nature of the Atma to be revealed to us, to be revealed to us. So just like, yeah, so it only covers our vision. Just like if you take the example of the sun and the clouds doesn't cover the sun. Clouds actually cover our eye. Sun is too large, too big. These clouds in the sky is not big enough to cover the sun. But actually cloud is covering our vision, our eyes. And similarly, this Ahangaram, Ahangaram, like the cloud, is staying as a block for us, for the Jiva, to experience Atma, to become one with the Atma. It makes us feel Jiva separated from Atma, like a screen in front of us. So, but Atma can never be covered, because he's too big, cannot be covered. Because when you are seeing these clouds in the sky, you can see there that that even the clouds you are seeing due to the presence of the sunshine from behind. Similarly, but due to the presence of that clouds, we are unable to see the sun. So the clouds remain as a block for us. So, but because the clouds are blocked, it's not going to matter to the sun anymore. Sun is too big. He's not disturbed over that. Just because the clouds has covered the sun, does it bother the sun? No, sun is not bothered about that. But similarly, once the clouds have moved away, you can see the sun, and the sun doesn't say, oh, fortunately the clouds have gone. Sun doesn't say anything. As far as sun is concerned, clouds have no significance. They are very insignificant things, the clouds. Similarly for Jiva also, as far as sun is concerned, there is no good and bad. Clouds are good or bad, it doesn't say anything. It's only in our eye we feel that problem with the clouds, isn't it? So, and whether the clouds come or not, the sun is always shining. Sun is always shining. Similarly, in our Atma, in the self, in Atma, in our Swarupam, because this Ahangaram is there, and due to the presence of the Ahangaram, we have Ajnanam, ignorance in us. And even though Ahangaram is there, Ajnanam is there, it does not have any effect on the Atma. It does not have any effect on the Atma. These are all comparisons to make it easier to realize this, that nothing will affect the Atma, even though Ahankaram is there. And this Ahankaram is, Jiva is not able to know its real identity as Atma. That ignorance is put in front of that by the Ahankaram, presence of Ahankaram. So even though Ahankaram is covering the Jiva in realizing the Self, Atma is unaffected by that. And that is the reason why Krishna said, Vande mukta, bandho mukta idi vyakya gunade meno vastuda, gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. To talk about bondage and liberation about Atma is meaningless. Krishna says that. I think it's the 12th chapter of the 11th canto, first verse. When Uddhava asked the question, Bandho mukta idi vyakya gunado mena vastuda, gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. You will see that first verse. So, so even, and even when this Ahankaram is present there and it is covering our vision of the presence of Atma, who we are, and brought this curtain in front of us, covering us, the knowledge which is present in the Atma and making us feel ignorant about it. But in spite of all that, that Chit Shakti that is coming from Atma continue to flow. Because only when the Chit Shakti is flowing, all these things can function together. So, so only, that is why they say, the flow of Krishna's grace is continued. That is Krishna's grace. The flow of that Chit Shakti coming from Atma. It is always coming. All it requires is we have to be prepared to receive it. To receive it. And when this Ahankaram has gone away, then you will find Krishna's grace flowing freely. Krishna's grace flowing freely. And otherwise, as far as the Atma is concerned, Atma has no problems. There is no problems at all. And only thing is, to be situated in the platform of Atma, Atmanishta, Brahmanishta or Jnananishta, we have to get rid of this Ahankaram. We have to get the Ahankaram under control. As long as, once Ahankaram has gone, creation has gone, and not only that, due to the effect, due to this creation, it won't have any impact on us. Like the illusion, ajnanam, it won't come. The world, the, or the creation, that creates certain effect in us, isn't it? In the form of raga, dvesham, shokam, harsham, bhayam, krodham, lobham, moham, spriha, all that what you were saying, they will all go once Ahankaram has gone. That's what that verse was saying. Ahankarascha drishyande janma mrityuschanatmana. That is verse number 15. Shoka harsha bhaya krodha lobha moha sprahadaya ahankarascha drishyante janma mrityuschanatmana. He says there, isn't it? Because he is situated in Atma. Atmanishta. Atmanishta. So he says Atmanishta. That is what he says. Guno bhave mal suvivikta dhamna. Samahideka karane gunatmabir. Guno bhave mal suvivikta dhamna. Vikshipyamane yudakim nudushanam. Thane yubedir vigadei reve kim. Kive kim. He says, because he is situated in the Atma. And suvivikta, he says there, suvivikta dhamna. Suvivikta dhamna means very clear. Where the Ahankaram has gone, and with that dhamna, that is the nature of the vastu. Vastu has fully realized who he is. And knowing that, to be situated in that, for such a person, once they come to that state, if the body is there, or if the body is not there, the world is there, or the world is not there, it doesn't matter. It does not matter to him. And due to that, due to the presence of the world or due to the presence of the body, it's not going to create any happiness or distress in him. Any happiness or distress in him. That is what Krishna is mentioning there. Those verses are very important verses.
And then he says there, Yathanapo vai analambhu gunair, gadavadir vartu gunairna sajjade, tatakharam satturajastamo amale, aham mate samsradi hedubhi param.
So beyond this ahangaram, beyond this false ego, is aksharam, that atma sarupam. Atma sarupam is aksharam. Aksharam is the name given to that. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita also akshara brahma yogam. Then akshara brahmam is compared to the sky, to the space. In the space, the wind is blowing, and the wind has got this nature of bringing things together, isn't it? And also the wind has got a nature to dry things, isn't it? It dry. Water wets, moist, and the wind dries. So this drying nature is in the wind. But the wind cannot dry the space. It cannot dry the space. You can't do anything about it because the wind itself is in the space. In the space. It cannot do. And similarly, fire has the capacity to burn. To burn something into ashes. But when the fire is burning in the space, it cannot burn the space. It cannot burn the space. And space is not affected by that, even though fire is burning. So none of them will touch the space. And none of them will touch them. And water is flowing in the space. Is it not? All the water is flowing through the space. But, and space is not touched by that. Not touched by that. And space, water cannot moist the space. It cannot moist the space. So in a similar way, just like air cannot dry the space, fire cannot burn the space, water cannot wet the space. They are all in the space. Is it not? They are all in the space. So in the sky you can see that, he says there, samahidaika karane gunatmamir guno bhavalsein bhava malsu vivitta dhannam vikshipyamanai yukdakimna dushanam khanei rubedar vigadei ravekim yatha nabho vayu analam ambu bhu gunair. All of them, elements. Vayu, air, analam, fire, ambu, space, bhu, earth. None of them, gadagadir vartu gunair na sajjade. They are all coming and going, all of them, in the space. But space is not touching them. Space is not touched by anything. Space is space. Agasham. It remains a space. So, bhu gane. All of them, vayu, air, water, fire, they are all coming and going in that space. In that space. So, like you can see, sometimes the space is filled with dust. And you will see that, at that time you think that it is full of dust. But, though that dust in the space does not have any effect on the space. Space remains space, untouched by the... After a while, all the dust goes away and the space remains as it is. Space remains as it is. Because all the dust comes back to the earth again. So, at no stage, it can affect the space. The dust cannot affect the space. Similarly, even though air, water, fire, dust is earth, even though all the other four elements are present in the space, it does not have any effect on the space. That's the point. Even though all the other four, it does not have any effect on the space. As I mentioned, the air does not wet the space, the fire does not burn the space, the earth does not make the space dusty. It lasts some time in the space and it comes back to the earth again. So whether it is water, air, earth or fire, all the other four elements, because they are all inside the space, they cannot do anything to the space, anything to this. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, these three modes of material nature, sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, and its after effects, which is like the gross material body, the mind, intelligence, all these things, none of them can touch Atma, which is totally independent. Because they are all in the Atma. They are all within Atma. When I say within Atma, not in the physical sense. What it means is, it is due to the presence of Atma, all these things have come out. Modes of nature, material body, the mind, intelligence, they have all come from Atma. Like the space is holding them all together, Atma is holding the whole creation together inside that. Inside that. It cannot go outside and do anything to Atma. They are all within that envelope. Within that envelope of Atma. They are all within the envelope of Atma. So, therefore, because of that, if the bodies are coming and going, like us, we are all different bodies who are coming here, and these bodies will go one day. All these bodies will disappear. So, even though the bodies are coming and going here, it does not have any effect on that Atma, on the effect of Atma. Atma is Brahman, that remains always pure and perfect, untouched by anything, and therefore, only Brahman exists, nothing else exists. That is the principle. Because it's all happening inside the Brahman. All these different, the living entities, their names and forms, their life here, their experiences here, all these things will continue, and none of this has any impact on that Brahman. But on the Brahman. That is that what he has spoken there. Yathana bhovayu anilambu bhoguner yadagadir vartuguner nasajade and tathaksharam sattvarajastamo male ahammade samsrudhi hedubhi param. Then tathabi sanga parivarjaniyo guneshu maya rajiteshu tavan malbhakti yogena dradena yavan rajo nirasyeda manakashayam. So, till that yogam, till this knowledge becomes ours. Earlier Krishna used the word kuyogi. In the next verse you will see. He uses the word kuyogi. Kuyogi means who is in the process of realizing this knowledge. Not perfect yet. Imperfect yogi. He is called kuyogi. He is not perfect yet. He is in the imperfect state. So here, till that perfection comes, maturity comes there, he has to make sure that he has no sangam anywhere. Yes. Tadabhi sangam parivarjaniyo. Sangam should be given up. Bharata Yogeshwara, Jadabharata, he went to the forest to perform penances. When he saw the deer, baby deer, sangam happened to him. And that resulted for a couple of lifetimes due to that one sangam. He had to accept two more lifetimes. Therefore, sangam should be given up. One example for that. Then, kuyogino, yeah. Tadabhi sangam parivarjaniyam guneshu maya rajiteshu tavat mal bhakti yogena dridena yavat. Krishna is again saying, give up sangam, give up sangam, give up sangam. And the way to give up sangam is through satsangam. Otherwise, we will keep sangam. We'll get more and more sangam. So, sangam should be given up, but satsangam should not be given up. Satsangam is the outlet for giving up sangam. So, Krishna is saying here that sangam to be given up, what sangam? Sangam in the sense objects. Wherever attachment to the body, attachment to the sense enjoyment is there, that should be given up. Up to what point? How will you do that? Through bhakti yoga, bhakti progress. Well, bhakti yogena dradena yavad. Rajo nirasyeda manakrishaya. That up to the point till attachment goes away. Till all the attachment goes away, up to that point sangam should be given up. Because attachment has come through sangam. Is it not? Why did attachment develop in the first instance? Due to sangam. So Sangam should be given up so that one day the attachment will go. And once the attachment is up to that point, one should give up Sangam. Sangam. The attachment is called Ragam.
Yeah.
Ragam. So Ragadvesham has come due to Sangam. So Sangam, if it is given up, Ragadvesham will go. And it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing. Because this Ragam is one nature of the mind. How the mind is behaving, isn't it? Just like if it sees something, you want to go and jump into that. And similarly, you'll have, at that point, you will have to pull the mind back from that. Something you have seen, you like, because there is some vasana inside, you go and jump into that straight away. And therefore, he is giving the example there, that yathamayo asadu chikilsito nirnam puna puna sam tudadi prarohan evam mano avakva kashaya karmam kuyoginam vidyadi sarvasangam. Just like you got some disease, it's not fully cured. You've done a lot of treatment. You improved quite a bit, not fully recovered. But that disease can come back again if you have not completely eradicated the disease from inside. If all the, you say in the modern doctor's language, all the virus hasn't been taken out, all the bacteria has been killed inside, it can come back again, isn't it? Similarly, mind is a disease. Evam mano apakva kashaya karmam. So, kuyoginam vidyati sarvasangam. He's saying here that apakvam, apakva means not perfect yet, immature yet. In that, and that is, and apakva kashayam means vasana. Vasana is the apakva kashayam. That vasana is inside there, and when that vasana is there, and that vasana which has not been destroyed, they are present there with the mind. That's where all the vasanas are present there in the mind. And in that mind, kuyoginam vidyati sarvasangam. And kuyogi, who is not perfect yogi yet, who is imperfect yogi, and he will be disturbed by those vasanas who is present there, because his yoga process is not perfect yet, and he is not still established in the Alma. But at the same time, he has made little progress. He is not yet there fully, but some progress he has made, but he is not fully settled down in the, established in the path of, in the Brahmanishtha. He is not reached there yet. So, such a person will be affected by those vasanas. Kuyoginam vidradi sarvasangam. Vidradi sarvasangam. So, that mind, therefore what is that? Sarvasangam. Sarvasangam means mind. Sarvasangam. Mind is sarvasangam. Mind is the one which creates sangam. Isn't it? If there is no mind, it won't cause any problem. It is through this mind, all sangam begins. All sangam begins. So, similarly, what Krishna is saying, that evam mano abhakva kashaya karmam kuyogina vidradi sarvasangam. For example, relations, family, home, and wealth, children, in this way, in all of them, sangam will come. All of them, sangam will come. If it comes there like that, like if you show a blind person, you show him a mirror, what will happen? He won't see anything, isn't it? Similarly, for a person who has got a lot of sangam with everything, wife, children, home, money, and all other things, when there is a lot of sangam like that, it will be like, to him, if you give this knowledge, it will be like showing the mirror to a blind person. That's the comparison. If you show the mirror to a blind person, he won't see. Similarly, this has happened all the time, isn't it? Chitraketu story, you remember? Sri Narada Maharshi and Angiras went there to give him transcendental knowledge. What did he say? Chitraketu says to them, That's all right. You are rishis living in the forest and you are not affected by anything. You're not affected by anything. But I am the king. You don't know my problems. So Angiras, what did he say? Angiras said, there's no point in talking to you. You get a son first. And gave this blessing to him to have a son. And he went away. Angiras went away. Next time when he comes with Narada Maharshi. By now, Chitrayudhu had his son. And hardly a year old, the baby child died. And Chitrayudhu is crying, sitting there. So now he is ready to listen. So he is telling him. Angiras and Narada Maharshi together instructs him at that time. So example here is that if you show the mirror to a blind person, he can't see, even though you show a mirror to him. Similarly, a person, when there is all this sangam, with the wife, children, family, house, money, everything, then for him, it will not have any work. It will not have any benefit. Therefore, sangam should be given up. Krishna is saying that. Puna puna samdudadi prarohan evam mano apakva kashaya karma kiyogena vidradi sarva sangam. So, for him, that person, all this knowledge won't be of any use. It won't be of any benefit. So, first thing is, Krishna says, sangam should be given up. Up to that point, that he has to be always very alert. And then the sangam won't happen. If he is alert all the time, then the sangam doesn't happen. And similarly, and if you have reached that state of samadhi, Sahaja Samadhi, it is called in the Bhagavatam also. Then, as far as he is concerned, there is nothing to be fearful about. Whatever he may do, he won't stick to anything. That detachment is there inside. And as long as he doesn't have that, if he feels that he is going to slip and fall, then he has to be alert, conscious of that. And then he says there, Kuyogino ye vihidandarayar manishya bodha istridashoba srishtaihi Te praktan abhyasa balena bhuyo yunjandi yogam nadu karma tandram. So Uddhava, he says to Uddhava, even though it is like that, suppose a yogi, even if he has committed some mistake, and he will not fall completely because he will not come back to the karma margam again. Karma margam is the worst one, to get absorbed in the karmam all the time. He says here, yunjandi yogam nadu karma tandram. He may fall, but he will not fall back into the karmam again, the world of karmic nature. He will still continue with the yogam again. He won't get, and Krishna says that, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says he will never fall. Shuchinam Shrimadam Gehe Yoga Brashtobi Jayate. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that. Yoga Brashtobi Jayade. He will take birth in such a way in next life. Suppose if he has fallen, that does not mean he will fall back again into the other world where he will be absorbed in a lot of karma. No, it will not happen to him. Instead, he will take birth in another life, in some another place where there is a possibility of going further in the yoga process. He will get that birth. He won't fall into karma mandalam, in other words. Karma mandalam means that where you are caught up in the problem of karma. Karma, makarma, vikarma. That vikarma and that life. You know, where you are completely caught up in the world of karma. And that you will not happen. That's what Krishna is saying. Yujandi yogam nadu karma tantram. Karma tantram won't happen to him. But he will fall, he may have to accept another body, but the birth will be such that he will get an opportunity to further grow in the spiritual life. And never he will come back to the... Why? Because the reason is, prakta abhyasa balena bhuyo. Abhyasa balam. Due to his practice of the yoga process. Due to the practice of yoga process, therefore he will escape. Eventually, he will escape.
Then, karodi karma kriyadeja jandu. Kenapyaso chodita anibadar. Na tatra vidvan. Pragrda ustidovi. Nivrta trishna su sukhane bhutyam.
So, therefore, for this purpose, if you do not cultivate spiritual knowledge, Krishna is saying here, that life is a waste. That life is a waste. Whatever he is doing it in this world, if it's all done with I am the doer mind behind it, I am the doer, because of that, there will be some emotions will be created in the mind. That is the problem. That is what Karmanandram refers to. Karmanandram means doing karmam with I am the doer, I am the enjoyer mood. In that way, when you do karmam, that is called Karmatantram. That is the field of karmam, karma mandalam. You will fall into that trap again. So Krishna is saying here that such a person, whatever he does, who did not cultivate this knowledge, he will again fall back into that Karmatantram. Which means that he will do things in this world with I am the doer mentality. And because he is doing with I am the doer mentality, it will have its effect in his mind. Vasanas will be created inside, and due to that, he will be forced to take again another birth. Again, another birth. And Krishna did not say that he is a human being again. He didn't say he'll be a human being again. What did he say? He says, such a person who falls back, he is called a jantu. See the next verse? Karoti karma kriyate cha jantu. He didn't call him as a human being. Why? Even though because he did not cultivate spiritual knowledge, and he lived a life in such a way, saying that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, in that mood he lived in this world, the effect of that is, he fallen back into that same trap of karma, and therefore Krishna doesn't say he is not even a human being, he is a jandu. He is a jandu, Krishna is saying there. Isn't it? He is a jandu, he says. So jandu means, what does jandu mean? Jayate iti jandu. All he has done is, he has taken birth again. Not even a human form, some other form. He could take birth. So jayate iti jandu. If you take birth, you are a jandu. But when do you become jiva? Much later. So, kenapyasau choditam anipathat. And that he says here, that why? Because when he had a human body, he did not do what he was meant to do. He didn't do that. So, kenapyasau choditam anipathat. That means up to the time of death. So all his lifetime is like a jantu. Why? All karma what he is doing is based on his vasana inside. Based on his vasana, he is living in this world. And based on his vasana, he is doing the karma. And based on that, he is getting his results and creating fresh vasanas. And again, based on that, he accepts another body. He is not a human being, Krishna is saying. He is not even a human being, as far as Krishna is concerned. Human being is that person who has accepted spiritual knowledge from Krishna, what Krishna has spoken, and who has put that into practice in life. And even if he has not become perfect, Krishna says, doesn't matter. Even if he falls back, he will get a birth, but never he will fall back into this world of karma again. That's the guarantee what Krishna is offering there. Even if he did not become perfect. So, that is what he is mentioning there. And then, for that person who has fallen back into the karmam again, he will get absorbed in that. But intelligent person, this will not happen. Na tatra vidvān, Krishna says. Na tatra vidvān pragṛdau sthitobhi nivṛtta trishnasya sukhāni bhūtyam. So sukhāni bhūtyā nivṛtta trishna. This person who did not fall back into karmam, again karma mandalam, that person, he will get absorbed in the atma, in the self, and he will remain without any desires. He will remain without cultivating any desires, like Jadabharata did in his next third life. In the Jadabharata stage, what did he learned the lesson. So what did he do? He did not cultivate any desires in the Jadabharata form. He did not cultivate any desires. And he lived there knowing that he doesn't even know that he had a body. In that state, he has, and Krishna is explaining that that yogi, that he should not live in this world just for protecting the body. another warning from Krishna, that if you come to spiritual life, then protecting the body and looking after the body is not the priority. Says it should be, the life should be for cultivating spiritual knowledge, not for protecting the body and looking after the body. It should not go in that direction, then he has fallen again into that trap. So saying this, that life should not be used for maintaining the body.
Maintaining the body, saying there, tishtandamasinam utravrajandam shayanam utshandam adandamannam svabhavamanyam kimabihamanam and altmanam altmastam adhirna veda. That verse is that.
What Krishna is saying here, in this life, even though the body is there, the endeavor, effort should be to stay in the spiritual platform. Whereas if you go in the thinking that body is necessary, body has to be protected, looking after the body and all, you will again fall back into the same ignorance of the body. Same ignorance of the body. There is a warning there to all of us, that to what extent we should care for this. Krishna is saying that suppose you have got back and you have still that fire inside for self-realization, spiritual knowledge. If it is still there, it is better to fan that knowledge inside and make that fire burning, rather than going into the body and trying to look after the body and find shelter in the body and maintain the body. Body will not be there at the end, it will go anyway. That is Krishna's words. So life, that yogi, even though he is a kuyogi, he said, he should not live in this world simply for maintaining the body. It should be for cultivating spiritual knowledge. And after saying that, this yoga system should not be utilized for maintaining the body, whether it is mantram or aushadham, medicines, yoga dharana, all these things, and these things can come in the life and they can have influence you in protecting the body, because this connection with our body is a very subtle thing, isn't it? It's not so easy to break away from that. So and those things which had come in that process, the mantras, the medicines, or the mani mantra aushadham, they will say like that, yoga dharana, all these things, it may or may not help the body. It may or may not help the body. Not that it is required for the body, but if it happens that due to practice of spiritual life, if your body is getting some strength, because these spiritual activities has also got that subtle effect in us. If you have a very good spiritual life, the chances of getting sick and even prarabdham will surrender to that. If the spiritual life is very strong in a person. So what Krishna is saying there, mani mantra aushadham, that means yoga processes, chanting the holy name mantram, and the medicines or whatever you are taking for whatever reasons you are taking, or you know, externally what you are helping the body. All those things, for spiritual purposes you are taking it, whatever you are doing, because there is various ways of spiritual life also. In that process, if a body is getting somewhat, some way better, let it carry on, but don't give attention to that, Krishna says. Don't give attention to that. Let the body come or go, doesn't matter. Spiritually advancing person should not give attention to what is happening in the body. That is the important point he mentions here. So it's 11:30, now we'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.